go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Another lovely day in almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia stand. Magnificent, in fact. It's about 80 degrees here inside the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Just lovely. Lovely. And that works out nicely because tomorrow, the weekend, the time that I do things like barbecuing in warm weather, it's going to be yet another day, yet another weekend that is absolutely soaking wet. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch. And, we will culminate the week with the extraordinary, ordinary round table that gathers around the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know that everything is running hot and true on both the White Rose stream and the HeadOn.live stream. And, of course, if you'd like to join the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn, the link for doing that is over at HeadOn.live. It's the link to the Skype group. Just click on it. It'll carry you right into the midst of the madness and merriment. Mm-hmm. And who knows what we're going to be talking about this evening, although I suspect I have a few ideas. Yeah. And we'll get that going in about, an hour or so. In the meantime, we have thanks to send out. Thanks to subscribers. And that means the folks who are subscribers on the 10th day of the month. You know, this being the 10th, it's hard. It just dawned on me. This is a month to the day away from the, we will have been and headed back from Molloy Fest by this time next month. But thanks to Judy, and thanks to Don, and thanks to Daniel. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. They are our subscribers for this 10th day of the month. And thanks to Catherine. Thank you, Catherine, for knocking down a nice chunk of what we did have coming into the program. That was fundraising goal for this evening is a hopefully entirely manageable $288. Thanks to Catherine taking the number down. $288, and that finishes the week, this first full week of May at the Horn. If you'd like to be become a subscriber, run over to HeadOn.live, click on contribute, and click the little recurring monthly box. Put a check mark there. If you stick $10 in it, you're going to be setting yourself back not quite 15 cents per hour of programming on the average broadcast month, which means not quite 45 cents per program itself. Shoot, I couldn't even. Apple would want more than that if I put it up on put a price on it on iTunes. So I'd say that's sort of bargain-ish. Yeah. Now, God, where to begin? Last night, of course, we had to cope with Sparky tells me, if you want to get the Skype link, Asa had just posted it. You may have to refresh the website to get the link to show up. So it really is there. Just refresh your headon.live link and you'll be rocking and rolling. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks a bunch. And by the way, if you pick yourself out a screen name and a password over at headon.live on the chat room tab, well, you'll be joining a merry little band that so far includes Anatole and Squeaky and Warrior Witch. And as moderating goes, it includes, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave, and pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. I think we're going to have a rollicking good conversation once we get the extraordinary ordinary roundtable going. It's so much easier just to use the Skype link now instead of having to follow that cussed breadcrumb trail through over the forest and through the woods, over the river and through the woods. Mm-hmm. In the chat room, Warrior Witch saying, stressed out. And I understand that. There's a line in... Oh, God. Which Rolling Stones song is it? That speaks to stress like that. Yeah, it's you can't always get what you want. The song that Trump plays at the end of every one of his Clavering rallies. You know, I think it would be fun. It would be interesting to FOIA the Trump campaign just to see if they're paying ASCAP or BMI or whoever. Because I know that Mick and Keith don't particularly care for that song being used, but they also, you know, they like getting paid. But it'd be interesting to see because you know this is a lawless bunch. But there it is. I went down to the demonstration to get my fair share of abuse, saying, we're going to vent our frustration, and if we don't, we're going to blow a 50-amp fuse. A 50-amp fuse is a big fuse. And relatively speaking, I mean, breaker box in here has some 15s, a couple of 20s. Right. If we don't vent our frustration, we're going to blow a 50-amp fuse. There's a lot of people who are feeling that degree of stress. So I know exactly what Megan is talking about. And with that in mind, a couple of early stories. Just to sort of lubricate the neurons and get us ready for the coming conversation. We'll have to go down to South Carolina, Stan, for this one, for the first one. There it is. After all the discussion of the shenanigans in Ohio, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, in regard to the rights of women to be the agents who control the workings of their own bodies, it seems only natural that we should go to South Carolina, Stan. Because South Carolina, Stan, is the home. It is the mecca toward which Republicans pray multiple times a day when it comes to bad government. There's a lot of bad government in the United States. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas. But they all take a back seat when it comes to South Carolina. And so, in South Carolina, there's a white woman by the name of State Representative Nancy Mace. Now, being a white woman, she is, of course, a Republican. And she says all the things that Republicans are supposed to say, talking about how she wants small government, and she wants to keep the government off people's backs, and how we got to make America great again. But she's learning a hard lesson about the nature of orthodoxy. And the nature of orthodoxy is such that you can't question it. That's why it's orthodoxy. It is not subject to review or revision. It is what it is for the sake of its own being. And as a consequence, if you challenge it, it is no longer received wisdom. Sort of like the ban on women in the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church. Or the way some people, I'm one of them, feel about the designated hitter rule in baseball. Or the really, really older football players who think that the modern efforts to diminish closed head injuries are some sort of diminution of the sport. Well, Nancy Mace of South Carolina challenged the orthodoxy. She didn't mean to. I mean, she loves the precious little fetuses as much as any Republican man ever done did. Well, no, I don't even think a white Republican woman would say that, because nobody loves the precious little fetuses more than the white men who never have to carry them to term. They love them, some fetuses. Like possum. It's delicious with sweet taters. I kid. But South Carolina is running a little behind on the clock in terms of their own efforts to roll back a woman's right to manage the workings of her own body. I mean, Alabama's out there wanting to put doctors in prison for 99 years. Georgia has declared that if a woman goes out of state to a place where an abortion is legal, that they will be chargeable with a felony when they come back and they're not pregnant anymore. Full faith and credit clause of the Constitution of the United States, be damned. This latter part is not working out well for Georgia right now, but Georgia Republicans don't care because they're doing the bidding of Jesus. Because, you know, the New Testament is just full of Jesus talking about the precious little fetuses. Only it isn't. Back 2,000 years ago, there was no way of verifying what a 6-week pregnancy even looked like. because it kind of, well, you need some serious magnifying to find that little sea monkey. The Georgia business about prosecuting a woman who goes across state lines and gets a legal abortion, prosecuting her when she comes back, is significant because as an assault on the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution of the United States, it also represents a return to that ancient, filthy doctrine that got something like 400,000 Americans and 200,000 traitors killed a little over 150 years ago. Okay, 159 years ago. And that doctrine is, of course, the doctrine of nullification. The pre-Civil War South declared that they could, and it was an ugly old doctrine. It had been banging around for a while. Andrew Jackson threatened to hang John C. Calhoun of South Carolina, whose plantation became the basis, by the way, of Clemson University, threatened to go to South Carolina and hang him if the secession stuff didn't talk and if the nullification business didn't stop. Nullification is a dead letter, but it doesn't stop the Confederate states from trying to reassert it, because this constitutional republic, as of the 10th day of May 2019, and I'm not engaging in hyperbole, and I'm not deliberately trying to make things sound worse than they are, is hanging by a thread. Of course, every time you say that our constitutional republic is hanging by a thread, somewhere the pink little ears of Bishop Willard Romney perk up as he once again whinnies and imagines himself to be the white horse of Mormon prophecy. But no, Willard will not be the white horse of Mormon prophecy, because the Mormon prophecy says the Constitution will be saved by the white horse, and well, Bishop Willard doesn't believe in many of the things he's just sort of quiet. And he certainly doesn't support a sister wife's right to manage the workings of her own body. That brings us back to Nancy Mace there in South Carolina, Stan. They, too, are in a frenzy to pass a fetal heartbeat bill that would essentially make abortion both impossible and illegal. This is where Nancy Mace ran afoul of Republican orthodoxy. There's another player in this story. It's all over at the Charlotte Observer. And the other player is, of course, a man by the name of Representing Josiah Magnuson. Wow, Swedes in South Carolina. Josiah Magnuson is the man who led the charge against Nancy Mace. Now, how did Nancy Mace run afoul of her own party? Well, Nancy Mace stood up and acted like a non-subservient white South Carolina woman. Now, understand, she supports the precious little fetuses. And she supports the 6-week fetal heartbeat bill. And of course, for all intents and purposes, no woman in America can know she is pregnant within that 6-week window. Because the math just doesn't work. Because women are not robots whose bodies operate on an absolutely unchanging schedule. So it's entirely possible that the first time a woman finds out she's pregnant, she's at 7 weeks, too late. But Nancy Mace got afoul of her own party and the maggots therein, of which she is one. And she stood up 2 weeks ago and gave a speech in the House in South Carolina. The nature of her speech was to persuade the South Carolina House of Representatives to at least include exceptions for rape and incest in the draconian, hateful, anti-woman bill under consideration. She succeeded. Unlike the Alabama legislature yesterday that tried to ram through a no-exceptions amendment, and we had the audio in yesterday, the 9th of May's program, South Carolina House, and they must be getting a little soft there in South Carolina. They're at risk of losing their title as world cornpone champion of bad government. They included a rape and incest exception in their fetal heartbeat bill. This drew the ire of the aforementioned state representative Josiah Magnuson. Now, what? Here's where the awfulness of it really presses down and shakes together. The nature of the remarks that Nancy Mace gave on the floor of the South Carolina House was to tell the story of her own rape. And I don't care if the woman is Republican, Democrat, anarcho-syndicalist, green, whatever. It takes courage to stand up and tell a story like that. Because it awakens old agonies. And you don't do it unless there is a reason that is genuinely compelling you to share the information. I'll submit to you that probably because Nancy Mace is an attractive white lady in South Carolina, that's what moved her colleagues. The Democrats, of course, what few there are in that state house, all voted in favor of her amendment. And some of the Republicans did too, sufficient to pass it. But having stood up and explained why she so passionately felt that there needed to be a rape and incest exception in this vile, hateful piece of legislation, which, remember, she didn't think was so vile or hateful, except for the rape and incest part. Well, enter a third player in the drama. A 501c3 organization, tax-exempt, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah, called Personhood South Carolina. Now, these other these personhood organizations have popped up all over the republic in the several states, like deadly mushrooms after a warm spring rain. And they're all tax-free, and they're big money makers, and they got budgets, and they've got money for, well, they got spending money. So, representing Josiah Magnuson got hold of a card that had been created by Personhood South Carolina. And it, you know, did what the fetus fetishists always do. It played upon emotions instead of anything vaguely resembling facts or science or any of that meaningful stuff. To wit, the card, festooned with phrases like personhood first and personhood now, and all the shit that goes along with being able to deduct your fetus on your taxes. And it showed a picture of a precious little actually born baby, not a sea monkey. Because a picture of a sea monkey, it might actually work against their campaign. Even the pregnant queen sea monkey. Maybe that would be a really subversive way to go against these people. But it's got a picture of a little baby in a blanket, and its tiny little hands are holding onto the little blanket. And the message on the card said, "In the case of conception due to rape, it is a twisted logic that would kill the unborn child for the misdeed of the parent." That's right. And then, representing Magnuson, slipped up to Nancy Mace's desk and left that card on it for her. In effect, calling her a slut for going out and getting all raped and stuff. Speaking to the state news in South Carolina, Nancy Mace said, "Calling rape a misdeed is ignorant, disgraceful, and degrading toward women. I didn't get sent to Columbia to put up with bullshit." Wait a minute. I think we need the accent for this. "Calling rape a misdeed is ignorant, disgraceful, and degrading toward women. I didn't get sent to Columbia to put up with bullshit like that." On the other hand, she did get sent to Columbia to vote in favor of a fetal heartbeat bill that essentially criminalizes any abortion at any time, because, as noted above, an abortion before 6 weeks is awfully damned rare, because women don't engage in prophylactic abortions. "Oh, well, period B here next week. Better go get an abortion." Doesn't work like that. So the story is filthy and disgusting, and there aren't any heroes in it. Personhood South Carolina is a filthy gang of theocratic punks, probably mostly white men. The whole personhood movement is a bunch of shit that was cooked up in one of their tax-exempt legal chop shops. representing Josiah Magnuson is for sure walking human fecal material. And Nancy Mace should have known better than to think that her Republican colleagues would do anything other than what Josiah Magnuson did. They are who we thought they were. Meanwhile, Personhood South Carolina spoke up and said, "The problem of some is not the poor wording of this sentence, but that these people just want abortion in cases of rape and incest." Now, the House Minority Leader, a Democrat by the name of Todd Rutherford, plays the closest thing we've got to the role of a decent human being in this story. Todd Rutherford said, "It was one of the most detestable things that I've seen in my 21 years in the General Assembly. A response to rape by this pro-life crowd was to take Nancy Mace's face and rub it in it." And went on to say that Mace was shaken by the event. And by the card, and by the letter in response. Josiah Magnuson ain't having none of it. She put herself out there as a defender of her position. I'm putting myself out there as a defender of my position. We need to have a legitimate conversation on the issue. That's going to be kind of impossible as long as representing Josiah Magnuson and Personhood South Carolina are involved in the conversation, because they do not have a legitimate position. Their argument is specious and foul, vile, hateful, and ugly. And once you get past all that, it's also anti-intellectual, anti-science, and inhumane, and arguably subhuman. Otherwise, it's just another day in South Carolina, Stan. Where women, well, women really don't mean that much. They don't mean as much as a microscopic wad of cells or a sea monkey. And they certainly don't mean as much as a man. All of this goes back to an essential and fundamental male insecurity that affects the maggot brain. That's the best I can figure. They look, for instance, at, say the male praying mantis who gets its head bitten off in the moment of truth, or the male black widow that gets killed and prepared for later snacking by the female's brood. They look at a beehive and realize that the males in the hive are the drones who serve only one purpose, and having served it, are pretty much done. And they have a caveman's approach to the so-called mystery of life. What they do not understand, they would simply smash. So, we'll just kind of keep track of these stories and watch as matters go from bad to worse. Because it is going to, it's going to keep getting worse before it gets better. There's no way it doesn't. As long as Mitch McConnell still leads the Senate of the United States, as long as he still leads a Republican majority, it's going to be awfully difficult to get much of anything done. But let's leave that behind for a moment and talk instead about a guy named Mike Davis. Probably never heard of him before. I hadn't. Mike Davis is a highfalutin Republican lawyer. He has at one time been chief counsel for Senator Chuck Grassley when he was chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You can find pictures of Mike Davis palling around with Brett Kavanaugh during the confirmation process. Mike Davis. You remember Kelly Griffith? Remember how she had her career ruined? Because she showed a photo with a mock-up of what was ostensibly the severed head of Donald Trump, and all the maggots just went into a full-on, full-blown tizzy. Well, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, because Mike Davis has a Twitter account, and he, granted, he has since tried to delete it, but, well, internet. Mike Davis tweeted a photograph, a meme, it's doctored, of course, of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And in the photograph, McConnell, wearing a suit and a white shirt and a yellow tie, has blood splashed across the front of his suit jacket, shirt, and tie. He's standing out front of a building with a great columnar portico in front of it. He's standing at the steps below it. And he is holding up and displaying the not a mock-up, looks incredibly real, severed head of a sitting judge of the Circuit Court of the United States. The D.C. Circuit Court of the United States. He is, in fact, proudly displaying the severed head of Merrick Garland. A little more on Mike Davis, the guy who posted that. He worked on the confirmation of Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch. He clerked in the federal judicial system for Neil Gorsuch. And yes, as mentioned, he busted that ass to get Brett Kavanaugh confirmed onto the court. Granted, this is only symbolic. I'm going to presume, although it's a little bit shaky, I'm going to presume that Mike Davis is not advocating that Mitch McConnell go and decapitate Merrick Garland. The problem being that when you display something like this to the maggots, some percentage of them will take you seriously. So far, not a lot of consequences for Mike Davis. Because again, I-O-K, I-Y-A-R. I-O-K, I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. Kelly Griffith? Uh-uh. Sorry. Kelly Griffin. Can't do that. But if you're a big-shot lawyer, for a big-shot senator, you can do it all day long. and twice on Sunday. Meanwhile, out in Las Vegas, somewhere probably after the 2016 election, some high school kids got together. I guess it was a hotel room party. It looks like a hotel room. To celebrate. This video has gone viral over the course of the day. It is disgusting. Let me go back and get a couple of comments in coming from the South Carolina story. Monique says, they love the fetus until they become a child. I wonder, can women start demanding child support for these fetuses they'll be forced to carry starting at 6 weeks? Wonder how the fathers will like that. Not at all. A woman needs to submit a no-masturbation bill for men. How many trillions of sperm are murdered each year by that act? By those acts alone? Similar sorts of bills. One was introduced in Texas. I think John Bridivo was talking about it a couple of weeks ago. And yes, they should. Someone should ask Josiah Magnuson how much sperm he's murdered during his lifetime, just to see his face turn red. I hate these monsters, Monique continues. Has anyone in the GOP gone through adolescence? What the hell? They are all repugnant. All of them. Yeah, decency's in a pretty damn short supply where the Republican Party is concerned. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Let me get this straight. Does the ability to prosecute a woman who receives an abortion where it's legal make a woman state chattel? So if a person goes to a state with legal cannabis and returns to a state where cannabis is illegal, could they be arrested? This crap makes my head hurt. I have no doubt, Ron, that there are Republicans out there who would like to blood test people and arrest them for the results thereof.
Looks like you got a little THC in your system, son. Well, that's against the law here in Georgia, don't you? Here in Alabama, here in Mississippi. Looks like you're going to be spending some time down on the work farm. Here's your bucket.
Remember, we routinely test blood, breath, or urine for the presence of alcohol. So, give them half a chance. Now, would a bill like that pass, Ron? I don't know, because there are a lot of Republicans out there who like to smoke them some dope. They just don't like talking about it. What's this? Pregnant must stay pregnant. Lee in New York says, I see the denial of abortion this way. A woman is pregnant. If she leaves the state, she must remain pregnant. If she wants to become not pregnant, that is a crime. That sounds to me like a famous Supreme Court decision called Dred Scott. Well considered, Lee. Absolutely. A slave in one state is a slave in any state. You can't stop being a slave or pregnant by going to another state. Yesterday's program included George Santayana's quote about repeating history. Well, these people know the history. It's just that they choose to repeat it, Lee observes. We're all doomed, Bob. Kathy Griffin, not Kelly. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. There's so much to keep straight. Oh, and thank you. Thank you to Lady B for getting us started this evening. We're now down to 278 to finish the week. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you kindly. If we finish the fundraising goal, Well, we've got a week of broadcasting guaranteed in front of us because I'm going to run out and pay the internet bill. Yay. Now, Nevada, sometime after the 2016 sort of election of Donald Trump, a pair of high schoolers recline on a bed in a motel room. They shoot cell phone video. Every time I run across one of these, I go through the same process. I do not want to run this audio for the fear that it will be taken as some sort of attempt at shock value. That could not be further from the truth. Maybe it's shocking to some, but to see young maggot children behaving the way that they have been raised to behave by their maggot parents does not shock me anymore. This video has only recently come to light. It was dug up by Our Revolution Nevada. And, you remember a while back when that perverted OK sign with the right hand, palm forward, the little finger, ring finger, and middle finger extended, and the index finger and the thumb forming a circle? That got started on 4chan or 8chan, and it was said to be, ha 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 ha, a joke. It was a prank on all the squares. Because they said it meant white power, but it turned it was just a prank. And then I believe it was the Anti-Defamation League said no, that symbol is not it's definitely not a white supremacist. It's all a practical joke. Well, going all the way back to late 2016, early 2017. It never was a joke. The joke was the camouflage under which this gesture entered the bloodstream of the body politic. What's interesting is that a great deal of effort went into finding out who the boy in the video is, but the young woman who engages in the most disgusting of the behavior in the video has so far been left unidentified. Because, see, the boy is Riley Grisar. Grisar. And as of the time when this video went out, he was the president of the UNLV chapter of that disgusting anti-American organization, Turning Point USA. You might recall Candace Owens as a member of Turning Point USA. She recently bailed out of the organization after having made arguments about how Hitler would have been cool if only he had done his nationalism inside Germany and not gone marching around Europe, sort of erasing the persecutions that he engaged in inside Germany itself. Otne Ute Eitbre, if you own a what I mean may, that Candace Owens. So, a website called It's Going Down took the video and began to try to find out what they could about it. one high school classmate of Riley Grizar was the one who pinpointed it to sometime in late 2016 or 2017. Riley Grizar was still in high school at the time. But he graduated high school, got into the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and being a good little maggot, joined Turning Point USA and eventually became its president. If forgiveness is needed, I will ask forgiveness in advance. For journalistic purposes, I'm going to run the audio here. And I warn you in advance, it is vile, it is vulgar, it is filthy, it is hateful, and it is, it could not be more so short of the young woman and the young man being dressed in Klan robes. That word, that odious, most hateful, most bloody word appears more than once in this audio. I apologize for it in the first place, but I feel like, you know, this if it gets played on the multimillionaire for-profit media, it's going to be beeped. And because it's beeped, it will be deprived of its force. That's true. Irish Dave points out the mascot of the UNL of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, is the Runnin' Rebels. Yeah, those rebels. The 159 years ago rebels. So I hope I've given you enough time to mute your speakers for a second. Riley Grizar and the young woman embrace on the bed, and the dialogue unfolds.
Yes. I love these guys.
Dude, we're going to rule the country. White power.
White power. White power. White power.
Yeah.
Fuck
them all. Fuck them all. Yeah. That's right.
There are three people in the video. Riley Grizar, the girl who is unidentified, who declares, we're going to rule the country, fuck the, and the third person who's shooting the video, who puts his hand into the frame long enough to extend his middle finger and says, fuck everyone. Riley Grizar can only be heard to say white power once, maybe twice. And, of course, they display the three fingers with the gesture, because it forms a W and a P. But it's the young woman who is most eager to make her declarations. And if you wonder, I know, this may seem somewhat tangential. If you wonder how it is that women vote for Republicans who then go to work hammer and tongs to take away the rights of other women, you need look no further than this 15, 16, 17-year-old little girl. And then the question that follows it, how did she get to be the way she is? Well, thank you. Thank you, Monique. Monique says, don't apologize. It needs to be seen and heard so people will stop that bullshit. Stop that bullshit lie that racism is dead because America elected President Obama. You see who America elected next in reaction. The biggest bigot, orange menace, and they're letting their bigotry flag fly loud and proud for all to see. And this little girl is probably going to be on the planet, we can reasonably expect, for another, 60 years. And if her brain was warped this early, it is unlikely to be untwisted. One would have a better chance of undoing the Gordian knot with two pairs of tweezers than untwisting the sick mind of this wickedly misguided little girl. And like roaches, if you see one, you've got 1,000. In an attempt at damage control, Turning Point USA issued a statement to the UNLV community pleading that they're not who they are. As soon as the video in question came to the attention of Turning Point USA staff, we swiftly... Now, this is their home office. This isn't UNLV. We swiftly and permanently removed the student from any current or future involvement with our organization. His comments were abhorrent, un-American, and disqualifying. I'm not trying to get myself in trouble, but all he said was white power. And I'm not saying that that is inconsequential, it's more than enough. But the little girl speaks with all the fervor and all the verve and all the dedication and devotion of Mother Himmler. We'd also like to commend the decisive action taken by the UNLV chapter leadership that acted quickly to remove the student from their chapter membership and involvement. As any large organization should, TPUSA has a zero-tolerance policy for hate, no matter the medium or how dated the act or comment, and we hold our tens of thousands of students to the highest of standards if they get caught. I added the if they get caught part, because that's really what it boils down to. Has young Mr. Grizar been expelled from UNLV? Here's a debate topic. Should he be? Throw him out of UNLV and maybe let him just go and mix in with a band of other like-minded young stormtroopers? I don't know. I just don't know. So it's a starting place, seems to me, with lots of possibility for conversation going forward. And thanks going out to our buddy Irwin in Montana. Irwin just took us down to 268. 268 to finish the week. Thank you, Irwin. Thank you very kindly indeed. All right, let's fire up. It appears that Sparky's having some technical issues of some sort, but I don't know. Let's find out if he's there. Hey, Sparky, are you there, buddy?
I'm here now. I had to drop out for a minute. I couldn't control my speakers.
Well, it was the darndest thing. I hit join call, and it defaults to wanting to show your damn video.
Yeah, I see that with other people jump popping in, too. Everybody just turn your video off.
Or we won't ever get through this program, because my bandwidth, I know, can't stand it.
I don't have a camera, so I'm safe.
Well, Agnes has ours covered up with tape, so y'all are safe that way, too.
I believe mine's off.
Hey, John Brivo.
Joe in Cleveland is not.
Yeah, Joe, you need to kill your camera, buddy.
Brother Joe, kill the video, friend.
By the way, I had a note coming in from Kitty in Boston. Here's a thought regarding abortion bans. If I no longer have the right to terminate my pregnancy after 6 weeks, will these states guarantee me free maternity care, or will the little bugger just have to take its chances if I'm uninsured? Well, I mean, it's a matter of freedom, Kitty. And we can't be going and giving free health care to little fetuses, because then they'll get in that welfare hammock in the uterus, and they'll be born in it, and they'll never crawl out of it. They got to learn to pull themselves up by their little sea monkey bootstraps, and experience the glories of free market capitalist freedom. Hallelujah, glory. Somebody
you
play Dixie.
Be rich.
Exactly. Hey, John Brittavo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bob. How about you? I'm ready for a fight.
Do you feel the pressure building? Can you feel it personally?
I do. Just how much bullshit can you expect the country to take all at once? You know, now you're going to throw a blanket over everything? Really? No shit?
It's happening real slowly. I compare it to Pit and the Pendulum. Remember how the blade just kept slowly...
Yeah, slowly drops, baby. Yeah. Slowly drops.
It's getting close.
And that's what it is. We're looking at a, you know, I don't know what we're looking at, a fascist asshole trying to take over our country?
Well, I think that already happened, John.
Yeah, well,
What we're looking at is the answer to the question, can we prevent the takeover from being made permanent and complete?
If we have the balls to. We can. If we have the balls to. I don't, you know, right now, Bob, here's my take on this shit. You know, everybody says we can't impeach. It's going to piss the right off, you know, and that's what it's going to unite them and all. What the fuck? You know, we're talking about the Constitution. We're talking about the law. And at what point do we say, it's okay. We don't need no freaking law. Y'all do what you want.
I'm past that, Uncle John. It's time to impeach. I mean,
To impeach. It's time to shove it up his ass is what it's time.
Yeah. Just on moral grounds alone, even if it does cost us 2020, we should do it, you know.
If we don't fight this, then what are we saying?
It's not a fight worth having. That's what we're saying.
That's exactly.
Polls are showing us. Impeachment going up. People for impeachment going up. It's just
it hit. In one poll I saw, Sparky said it's hit. It has hit 45%.
Well, somebody handed in a congressperson handed in like 100,000 signatures on a flash drive today. So
no, not 100,000. It was 10 million signatures.
Was that what it was, Uncle John?
Yes, it was okay. Rashid Tlaib.
Yep.
How do you say that, Bob?
Rashida Tlaib.
Tlaib, that's it, Tlaib, Rashida Tlaib, the one that said impeach the motherfucker. Yeah. Well, she came up with 10 million signatures that say, yeah, let's do that. 10 million. That's a lot of signatures, baby.
You can go down fighting or you can just go down. I prefer the first. You know?
I prefer the first one, baby. I believe it's worth fighting for. I believe, because what it is we're fighting for your horn family out there. Everybody that's listening to this shit, this is what this fight is about.
Yeah, this is everybody's fight.
This is all of us, baby. And we either fight for all of us or all of us go down.
United we stand, divided we fall.
That's it, baby. It sounds so cliche, but the cliches are true.
Well, cliches only become cliches because they become so obviously true.
That's right.
I found a piece of audio from Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland, and I'm proud to say he is a co-sponsor of H.R. 2050, the AIC Act.
Outstanding.
And he's also a former constitutional law professor, so he knows of which he speaketh. And it's nothing like a draft of articles of impeachment or anything. But what's amazing is in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, which we're about to listen to, he does a pretty good job of just moment by moment from the beginning of Trump's candidacy and presidency of documenting most of the evil shit that Trump has done. So just check this out.
Madam Chair, I think we need to remark how far this president has lowered our country. First, they destroy the norms and the values of society, things that we'd always taken for granted. You don't mock people with disabilities. Men don't mock women's bodies on television. You don't ridicule people and give them obnoxious nicknames, at least after you graduate from the third grade. You don't falsely accuse other political leaders of treason. You don't accuse other political leaders' parents of assassinating President Kennedy. You don't use disgusting, profane language to disparage other countries. And you don't call neo-Nazis and Klansmen very fine people. You don't give aid and comfort to the dictators of the world, like Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, by flattering them and being their sycophants. But then you destroy the norms and the values of your office. You call the press the enemy of the people. You call true facts fake news, and you call fake news true facts. You vilify and you demonize the hardworking employees of the Department of Justice and the FBI. You accuse them of being part of a fantasy deep state conspiracy just for doing their jobs. You falsely claim that millions of people voted illegally while you deny and dismiss the finding of Special Counsel Mueller that there was a sweeping and systematic campaign to disrupt our elections in 2016. You refuse to divest yourself of your business interests or to put them in a blind trust, as other presidents have done. You travel to your own business properties and hotels on government expense. You double initiation fees to Mar-a-Lago. You turn the government of the United States into a money-making operation for your family, for your business, and for yourself. And then you violate and undermine the laws of the United States. You sabotage the Affordable Care Act to try to deny millions of people access to their health care. You separate children from their parents at the border. You pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, making our country an international environmental pariah and outlaw state. You lie about what science has shown about climate change. You call it a Chinese hoax. You collect millions of dollars from foreign princes and kings and governments in violation of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8 of the Constitution. And now the president, aided and abetted by the Attorney General, tears at the very fabric of our Constitution. He orders that a curtain be pulled down over the executive branch. He says there will be no cooperation with the lawful demands of Congress for information. Congress shouldn't be looking anymore, the President King declares. This is all. It's done. No tax returns. No Mueller report. No witnesses. Not Don McGahn. Not John Cor. The president declares himself above and beyond the law. James Madison said, knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and those who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power that knowledge gives. The people, through the Constitution, gave us that power. We must exercise it. If you act with contempt for the people and Congress, we will find you in contempt of the people and of Congress. And I support the resolution. I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
Pretty impressive, wouldn't you say?
I would say I listened to it when he was speaking live. I'm telling you. He speaks volumes right there.
I mean, that is an indictment.
It is. And don't we have former federal prosecutors that signed a letter that says he should have been indicted, and if not for the fact that the OLC
I think it's over 500 now.
It's obvious to anybody. I haven't delved through the whole thing. I got that Mueller report sitting right here. I've been going through a lot of personal shit, but it just ended on Thursday, so I get to devote more time to my shit. But, it's there for everybody to see. He's a guilty dog. The only thing keeping him out of being indicted is the OLC decision that you cannot indict a sitting president, and that has not been tested. That is just their freaking opinion. Let's take that theory to court. Let's see if that stands. Because I don't think it should.
Well, you got to find some Trump-ordained U.S. attorney who would be willing to drop an indictment on him in order to test it in court, John. That's how it becomes a problem in self-contradicting, I guess.
Yeah. Well, right now we got, who's that, Burr, I think it is, the guy that sent in the Senate committee that sent Donnie Jr. a subpoena.
Yeah, and there's another question.
The only reason he's doing that now, mind you, is because he's not running for re-election. He's not up for re-election in 2020. He's not going to run anymore.
Well, and remember, I've been pointing this out for a couple of days, John. This is the same Senator Burr who was a mole for the Trump administration during the Senate's delving into the matter of Russian hanky panky, I'm a little suspicious.
Yeah,
but how is it not a crime to do what Don Jr. has done, and that is call down all manner of wrath on Burr himself, and secondarily, they've tried to leverage influence over Tom Tillis, and he will have a maggot primary challenger from the right now. And it's a matter of vindictiveness. It's a matter of putting the screws to him to get him to denounce his own the senator from his own state. But probably the weirdest part of all of this. And it was easy to miss. It just kind of went by. Mitch McConnell approved of the subpoena.
Well, Bob, I didn't think about that, but he had to have.
What does that mean? There was a closed-door meeting of Republican leadership, and McConnell said, "I approve of this subpoena."
Boy, you caught me off guard with that, Bob, because right now my mind's going on. Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
what is that? Somebody said
I can't.
Going to give him a happy ending.
Yeah, jerk him off before he gets out the door. Mitch has got his own problems. Regardless of what we do with Donnie, we got to get rid of that asshole too. I understand his numbers are down in Kentucky, which I'm happy as shit for. But just this week on my show, I was talking about the fact that we had another school shooting, 35 in this school year. That's just ridiculous, and that there is gun legislation sitting on the Senate floor that Mitch will not bring to the floor in the Senate. There are a whole variety of crap that we're dealing with that man has just put a roadblock to. And until we get rid of Mitch McConnell, we've just got another Trump, except he's controlling the Senate. But, he's smarter than Trump. Yeah, I can't give him... He's smarter than Trump. But
what was the name of the representative who gave that speech just now?
Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland.
Okay. My only concern about that, and I don't
Sparky, hold on. Yeah, go Sparky.
Yes, please.
If you come in with your video on and don't turn it off, I'm going to zap you.
Uh-oh. Watch it. He's got a zap gun.
It hurts too, man.
I mean to tell you, he's hit me before.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass because Joe, you got to turn off your video, brother.
Turn off your video, Joe.
Apparently,
it's actually more painful than being transported in the Star Trek.
Yeah, the latest update, I guess, defaults to video on.
Yeah, when I turned mine on, it went. The video was on. I had to go down.
I think it's off now.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, bro.
Sorry about that.
You were split seconds away from being zapped. I saw him flip the safety off the gun.
I've already done it twice.
He's not afraid to do it again.
Can I go back to the question I was asking or the comment?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't disagree with anything that the good representative from Maryland had to say. Jamie Raskin or
Raskin, R-A-S-K-I-N.
Okay, thank you. All right, I don't disagree, and I'm not surprised by anything he said. None of the list of horribles came as a great revelation to me. This is stuff that I've been aware of as the shit has been cascading down the gangplank. What I'm wondering is, who is his comment aimed toward? We already know it. Anybody who didn't vote for Trump pretty much has their head around. Well, what?
People on C-SPAN.
Well, no. Procedurally, Scott, the answer to your question is those were his remarks in support of the resolution to issue a contempt citation.
And it goes in the congressional record.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is for the record. And for me, the value of it lies in, we all know these things, 1, 2, 3, here, there, everywhere, for the last 2+ years.
Oh, it's like catechism.
This takes on a catechistic quality. That's, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Cowbell for catechism.
Wait a minute. You never went to Catholic schools, man. I get where you're coming from. You never had a nun hover over you with a ruler or yardstick. Right? You talk about being zapped. You ain't never been zapped till you've been zapped by a nun when you didn't get the answer right. But anyway, go ahead.
No,
I had somebody worse than that, a sixth grade teacher named Mr. Torres who carried you around a yardstick.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Torres sounds...
If you didn't pay attention, he slapped your desk real hard with it.
And he didn't even have an ideological reason to do it.
No, you were just not paying attention. You were dozing off or something.
Woke right up, did he?
I feel for y'all.
Well, all that I was saying was, you know, he raises points that are very well taken by anybody who has a couple of viable brain cells to bang together inside of their head. I'm just wondering how do we go about getting this to influenceable people, not just for the election in 2020. I'm talking in the near term.
Scott, it starts with the fact that this is a very accessible clip that is having the living bejesus shared out of it on Twitter.
And that's good.
Alyssa Milano tweeted it. And it has been retweeted 19,275 times, and it's been liked 47,072 times. It needs to get a lot more viral than that.
We have to remember that the people that we elect to send to Congress as our representatives, as our senators, their work is in their words. That's the product that they produce, whether it be on paper or on camera. It is the words that they speak that are aimed at a particular either group of people or a value or an ideal, but it's those words that are so important to get. If he makes that speech, get another one to make the same speech in that same area. At what point?
Well, the other thing that we have to bear in mind is the fact that we are a little bit different than the average ordinary American, because we're plugged into this stuff and we're paying attention on a not just daily, but an hourly, minute by minute basis. There's a whole lot of America.
If you're going to comment about it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of America though that isn't.
Yeah,
they don't have time.
They don't have time. Some of them aren't inclined. Some of them don't feel like it connects to them.
They're working 80 hours.
I saw a quote the other day that said, "It said America is." It was a German speaking. America is coming to a realization that Germans realized, 80 years ago, and that is that 1/3 of the nation would kill 1/3 of the nation, and 1/3 would sit around and watch.
That's true.
It's chilling.
We could, that could happen.
Either sit around and watch or not even know.
And that comports with what we understand of the maggots.
And what is Donnie's numbers? 1/3?
Yeah.
There you go. There's the third that would run out and kill the other third. We're worried about those that would stand around and watch it happen.
They're out there strong, too. I mean, they're on C-SPAN every day, worse than Journal, man. Yeah. God, it's getting painful to listen to.
It just, you know, Steve is right. You know, people have jobs. People have a life. I, myself, have been going through shit for a while. It takes a lot out of you to keep that going. And if it wasn't
brother,
for the fact that
brother, you just said a mouthful.
For the fact that I do what I do, I would not have time to
divulge. I don't want details or anything invade your privacy. Is everything okay, John?
I'm good until the decision comes down. That's where I'm at. I've done everything I can. I've turned in everything I was supposed to, all the records, everything documented and all that shit. And now it's a matter of a decision. It's that's what I'm going to wait for. But I'm tired. You know, I've been doing this shit since last November. You know, dealing with this in my personal life.
Right, exactly, Uncle John.
And I can't say that I don't have that feeling of somebody heard me open my mouth and really got pissed off at me. You know, it runs in the back of my head. Do I have any proof of that shit? No.
You damned well know where you are.
Yeah, I know where I am. I know where I stand. And you're pushed up against the wall, but. You know, at what point I was asked, John, maybe you ought to just shut your mouth. Fuck you. I ain't shutting my mouth. I ain't shutting my mouth for shit. I see an asshole in our house. I see a man that is a disgusting mold on this country. And he's trying to eat up our democracy, our very constitution that we have. Our forefathers have fought and died to give us this democracy and to keep it safe all these years. And we're going to turn it over to Mr. Goldbucks here. Mr. Putin's bitch? I don't think so.
Well, to be fair to the people that are apathetic, I was in the hospital the majority of last year, in and out, and Jesus, man, it's everything I can do just to keep my bills current. So,
I'm telling you, buddy. I'm telling you.
And so I understand why if somebody can't zero into the news every day, they're not an asshole. They're just trying to make ends meet.
People like Bob, who has his voice out here like this, this is why it's so important. And when I opened my iPad over there, I said you had a goal of 300 and something today. Are you working on that, Bob?
Gordon just took us down to 253, John. Thank you for asking.
Because that's important. Because the voice of I want to say the common man, Bob's way above common. He's above my ass, and he knows a whole lot more than I do. But it's people out there that have their mouth going. That remind us every day of the shit that goes on. If you don't have time to pay attention to it, maybe you've got an hour to sit down and listen to Bob, or maybe hear me or somebody else in a common voice telling you what's going on in this nation and what is at stake here. And it's everything, baby. It's everything is at stake.
Exactly. That's why I led the program with that story of the South Carolina Republican woman who got shown exactly who and what her party is. Now, Mitch McConnell's fond of saying there's no learning in the second kick of a mule, but that was the first kick. And the question is, once you've been kicked, do you learn?
Are you going to stand there? Yeah.
Are you going to stand
there and take it again, baby? Or are you going to do something? You know?
And they showed her exactly who they are. And they showed her what they thought of how they feel about her agency as a human female. And, misdeeds of the parent So yeah, she committed a misdeed. She committed a misdeed by getting raped.
Yeah, that's her fault. Yep. Yep. That's it.
How she was she dressed? She must have wanted it.
Isn't that what Rush Limbdick would say? Oh, you wanted birth control? You want somebody? Oh, well, you're just a slut. That's those people are. That's who they are. They're disgusting little maggots who have thrown every value they ever had.
And you know, there's the American farmers are taking it in the shorts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we need to get more money to them, Bob. Need to send some more welfare or whatever they want to call it out there to pay them farmers because Donnie Boy screwed them over.
They're not getting their checks, man. Yeah.
It's going to hurt them. You know, I'm split on always when we talk about farm subsidies, which are needed, and help this country through the hard times and all that shit. But I have an issue every time we talk about subsidies for farmers when at the same time they're combating welfare for somebody to eat that food.
Or food stamps for kids
going
to school.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, some school is in the news here lately that all of a sudden they want to, if a kid doesn't have the money to pay for his lunch, well, you can have a peanut butter sandwich. You've just singled out that child in his whole class. Everybody else has got the little food there that came through the cafeteria line, but no, this kid, he just gets a peanut butter sandwich. Here you go. Get on down the line. Every one of his peers around that table sitting is going to look at that kid and know, oh, he's poor.
Yeah, and that ain't character building. And the way, there's an update on that story. You know, I've long said that consumer choices are moral choices, and Chobani, the yogurt people, stepped in and paid off whatever money it was that was said to be due and owing by those privileged people running the Warwick, Rhode Island school district. That's Chobani good. Yogurt. And that's great. And I applaud them for doing it. But in
but
a
it
country...
it shouldn't have to be done.
It should not have been necessary. And a country that actually talks about being free and being the best country in the world should never have that happen. And the only way you prevent that from happening is by having a federal government that is strong enough to prevent it from ever happening. And that's the debate that goes all the way back to Jefferson and Hamilton and Madison. You know, Jefferson
paper that says we the people.
Yeah, Jefferson wanted a government that was so weak that it couldn't take care of its kids. Hamilton wanted a stronger centralized federal government. Whatever else the failures of Alexander Hamilton were, and they were myriad.
That's not one of
them. That ain't one of them. Yeah. But so many of the problems in this country could be solved by simply having strong federal action. We don't need 50 petty fucking kingdoms out here regulating insurance industries. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the back doors that these fetus fetish freaks engage in. Regulate the sale of insurance. That's what they're doing in Ohio right now. You cannot buy insurance that would pay for an abortion.
Mm-mm-mm.
But if you've got a federal government that sets forth what the law with regard to insurance shall be and federalizes that topic, all that machination goes the hell away. At the halfway point of the program, let me share a couple of emails. Lady B earlier said, going to miss the program tonight. Helping decorate banquet room for my nephew's wedding reception tomorrow. Aw, the whole family's in town, and all the women here are busy and happy because unlike the blue-haired ladies, we don't have to cook. Hope your show's nothing but smooth sailing. Enjoy your night, Bob, and keep the faith, Horn family. Kyle writes and says, I heard the pain and the exhaustion in John's voice tonight when he was talking about waiting for a decision to come down. Here's sending positive thoughts to him and letting him know that I and we as a community are on your side, and we're all hoping that the decision you're waiting for goes in a positive way for you. Thanks, Kyle.
I appreciate that, Kyle, very much, buddy. It's a major thing, has been since November. And
it's stressful, too.
It has been very stressful, but actually, I'm thinking the decision will take probably a couple months to make. So it's right now I'm at that point where I feel like I can take a breath and relax for a little while. There ain't shit I can do anymore. I've done everything I can do.
No, it's out of your hands now, brother.
Yeah, and if the decision comes against me, well, then we go to appeal.
And then you deal with it from there.
We fight more, baby. That's I don't give up shit.
It's like Tom Petty said, the waiting is the hardest part. And there's a lot of truth to that, you know.
There is.
And he also said, and I don't back down.
There you go, baby. I don't back down. And we can't back down as a nation because this, I said it on my show the other day. We have a president. We have an attorney general. We have a secretary of the treasurer. All these, they're sitting there right in your face, flipping you the bird up your ass. We don't have to do anything you ask. That's this country.
Well, I tell you what, and you know, it's interesting. The niche that we need may turn out to be too stupid to be indicted, Junior. He may be the chink in the armor. The reason I say that is because he's not the secretary of anything. He's not on the government payroll like Precious Ivanka.
He's a private citizen, baby.
And Julius Geezer just left him out there to flap in the breeze. And now he's saying, well, I'm just not going to honor the subpoena. Yeah, you do that, Junior.
Let's go down that road. Let's play that game.
Let's go to court over this.
Yeah.
Because executive privilege is dicey under a lot of circumstances. Not always, but often. And this is one of those circumstances where it's probably a no-brainer.
Yeah. You hear his daddy? He's a good boy. He doesn't need D.C. in his life. He needs Washington in his life. Are you shitting me? Have you seen the International Trump Hotel there in Bribe Collection Center right down the street where he's got his fingers and all that shit?
Wait a minute.
No, baby. He's tying up that shit.
Trump International Hotel and Bribe Collection Center.
That's
that got you a cowbell, John Bredevoe.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. That's what I call him. Mar-a-Lago, his golf club and bribe collection center. So any Trump property is a bribe collection center. That's where these people that come to see him in Washington D.C. they're going to stay at the Trump Hotel to pay off the man, baby. You're gonna go buy a club membership in his Virginia golf club or some shit like that. That's a bribe collection center, baby. He has them all over the world. You need a nice condo, baby. Check into the State Department. I'm sure they could hook you right up.
they got a room in the basement.
That's mean. Yeah.
Well, let's bounce around the room a little bit. Let me start with Steve because Steve jumped in early. Steve from Georgistan. Oh, by the way, speaking of Steve's, note coming from Steve in New York, presidential indictment. Stop looking to the federal government. The name you're looking for is Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York. I hope she proves to be the nightmare that we all dream she is.
Amen.
She's working with the state government in New York to make Trump's life as miserable as possible. You know, not out of any personal vendetta, but because he's a fucking crook. And I hope she's successful. But Steve from Georgistan, Steve in New York agrees with my awarding of the cowbell for Bribe Collection Center. I think we've got consensus on that. Steve from Georgistan contacted me last evening and said he had a topic that he wanted us to take a run at, and so I want to make sure that doesn't get lost in the shuffle. And once we get this thing going, it may get kind of involved. So I'll just say now, since we are at the halfway point of the program, we can finish the week with $258 more raised. So 10 at 25, 25 at 10, that gets us where we want to go. So that's where we stand. Steve, you wanted to talk about constitutional crisis.
Well, thanks for bringing me on, Bob. I didn't want to make a grandstand or anything, but Gerald Nadler, I don't know, whatever you think about him, he's got the gift like you have, where he can make you understand the workings of something that the average mind, like mine, cannot understand. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ben Franklin quote. Somebody asked Ben Franklin, what did you, back when the founders put all this shit together, somebody asked him, and they said, well, what did you come up with? And Ben said, a republic, if you can keep it. Have you ever heard of that quote before, Bob?
Oh, yeah. And the thing that gets, a lot of people hear that quote and they say, and they just take it at face value.
Right.
But when he says, if you can keep it.
Right. That
indicates
huge.
That he, the wisest man that white folks in North America had produced to date, he was skeptical. He didn't think we could.
Well, his skepticism may be coming to fruition because, as Gerald Nadler and I believe there was another somebody running for president, also agreed that this is definitely a constitutional crisis. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what that meant, because I didn't fully understand it until a couple of weeks ago. And Bob, please correct me if I'm wrong or giving out misinformation, but this is the way I understand a constitutional crisis. It's something that the founding fathers didn't envision, and now we're up against it, and there's no answer for it.
That's pretty close. I tend to describe it this way, Steve.
Okay.
Because you're always up against the powdered panjandrums of the for-profit media when you deal with an issue like this. And those assholes tend to think that impeachment itself constitutes a constitutional crisis. The Constitution working as it was designed to work is not and may not, by definition, be considered a constitutional crisis. Therefore, impeachment itself is not a constitutional crisis. A constitutional crisis arises, and this gets to what you're talking about. A constitutional crisis arises when circumstances and events transpire for which the Constitution provides no mechanism to address it.
Exactly, bro. And that's what I was trying to articulate. Yeah. But
In short, a constitutional crisis happens when the Constitution is not used. And a classic case would be the fact that, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9, or vice versa, that Representative Raskin referenced, the Emoluments Clause.
Oh, yeah?
Well, the Emoluments Clause is clear. It says up front, you can't do this. It also provides an out. You can do it if Congress later says you can do it. But as it stands, the Emoluments Clause is perfectly on point, and Donald Trump had a chance not to run afoul of it and chose to flout it instead. When that happens, and when nothing is done about it, you have a constitutional crisis. When a congressional committee issues subpoenas, and they are not responded to, and
there's no course of action, and it's
left to hang fire,
yep,
you have a constitutional crisis. When the President of the United States goes running naked in the yard crazy, and his cabinet or such body as Congress may by law provide, which is in the 25th Amendment, Section 4, does not act, you have a constitutional crisis. This is why I've said that we've been in constitutional crisis from the moment that the Electoral College met and made him the President of the United States.
Right, because of the Emoluments Clause.
Well, because of the Emoluments Clause, because we were promised that the Electoral College, and I understand the counter argument to this, but the Electoral College was promised by Alexander Hamilton to serve as a buffer against the people of the United States losing their tiny minds and electing a man exactly like Donald Trump. Now, the way Alexander Hamilton put that forward is that a demagogue, a poltroon, a lunatic would win the presidency via the popular vote, and the Electoral College would step in and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, this man is not qualified in any way to be president. We're going to make somebody else president instead.
So you think they envisioned this happening, and that was their safety break, but it doesn't fit in any situation we've ever found ourselves up as of yet.
Right. The thing for the Electoral College to have done would have been to have said, It is obvious that this election was not freely and fairly held. The popular vote has been won, and Hillary Clinton is going to be president of the United States.
I always thought it was to keep the flyover states from being minimalized.
No. The purpose of the Electoral College has, as do so many elements of the founding of our government, roots in slavery. The Electoral College was designed to afford more power to the less populous slave states. And so the Electoral College, in conjunction with the Three-Fifths Clause, gave slave states sufficient power that they could not be over, because they didn't, you know, South Carolina did not have near the white population that Pennsylvania did, or that New York did even. So by counting slaves as three-fifths of a human being, without ever having to let them have the franchise, you made sure that the white minority in the slave states had political power commensurate with those in the free states.
Well, that's interesting, brother, and I appreciate you clarifying that. Somebody else was trying to come in here, and go ahead,
Steve.
Whoever. Yeah.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick, what's up, brother?
Good. I wasn't sure. I was going to suggest Bob for a cowbell for his use of the word poltroon. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, as Bob has explained it, you know, the constitutional crisis kicks in when either the mechanisms of the Constitution are not sufficient to meet the challenge facing the nation, or for whatever reason, the mechanisms in the Constitution are not being used, you know, as they should be. Like, for example, the power of impeachment. I mean, Trump should have been. I mean, he could have been indicted like nine ways till Sunday.
Right. Well, you, but know, with the, you as you a know, lawyer, with, Rick, what recourse do they have for Barr?
You know, for you know, not I showing think, up. Well, they're going to hold him in contempt.
That's part of the crisis, though. I mean, really, what recourse do they have?
Well, they can hold him in contempt, and I believe that it'll go to the district court in D.C. as far as enforcing the subpoena. If Department of Justice chooses not to pursue the contempt, then I believe a special prosecutor of sorts will be appointed by the court that will actually prosecute the contempt, and that's how it will go forward. So
he's just as heinous in all this. In my opinion.
If the court appoints a special prosecutor,
right?
Would that special prosecutor be under the direction and control of the DOJ, or would it be under the direction control of the court?
I think of the court, Bob. I'm not 100% sure. The same thing happened when the Republican Congress filed contempt charges against Eric Holder. And strangely
right.
enough, I, you know, right. I read
it. Eric said, I ain't going to, you know, I'm not going to prosecute myself.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I read in one of the legal publications I subscribed to that the Holder case was just resolved. The Holder contempt case.
That's what I'm saying, man.
And he hasn't been attorney general for how many years?
Forever, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the distinction is special prosecutor versus special counsel. They are different things run by different entities for different reasons.
Right.
Like
right.
Archibald Cox and who was the other Watergate who replaced Cox?
Jaworski.
Jaworski, yeah. They were special prosecutors, right?
Right.
Whereas Mueller is special counsel.
Right.
Yeah, notice the word independent does not appear in Mueller's term.
Yeah.
No, title.
Yeah, after the great cleanest hunt, you know, with Kenneth Starr in the Star Chamber, the law was changed to basically, actually, I think the law was allowed to sunset. And so the special counsel statute was not renewed. I believe in the Bush years, the reign of error, that is, early in the Bush years. And so that was just...
Yeah, it was allowed to sunset.
Right, right. And so all you have left are basically DOJ regulations that allow for the appointment of a special counsel that's supervised by the Attorney General of the U.S. as opposed to an independent counsel, you know, in the nature of Ken Starr or in the Watergate era, you know, Jaworski and Archibald Cox. So,
right, but they let independent counsel sunset as well, didn't they?
Well, that's the same thing. It's the independent counsel's statute. Okay, that's what sunsetted.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So what you have left is you have DOJ regs, which I think were rewritten during the Clinton years to like narrow the scope of the the ability of a special counsel to go after, you know, the administration just because of how crazy Whitewater was and how that just went from like a failed real estate deal to, you know, an investigation as to whether he was lying about having an affair with his intern, you know, Clinton, that is. So, yeah.
And the counterpoint to that in the realm of constitutional crises, we have to go back to the 1980s for that. Because that's why I went to such pains to distinguish between the Constitution working as designed and the Constitution being dysfunctional. Back in the 80s, because I guess they had the power to declare policy via the Fourth Estate, Ben Bradley and Katherine Graham, who had been the heroes of Watergate, looked at the filthy machinations of the Reagan-Bush administration and declared, when it was obvious that Reagan was guilty as homemade sin, the country can't stand another constitutional crisis this close after Watergate. And they wrung their wealthy little hands and they clutched their wealthy little pearls and they tut-tutted, and Reagan got away with it. When in fact the argument they were putting forward was specious to begin with. Impeaching Ronald Reagan would not have triggered a constitutional crisis. There's not a shred of evidence inside the Federalist Papers or the deliberations over the Constitution that suggests that the framers ever viewed impeachment as a constitutional crisis.
And we also will recall those of us who have the facts at hand to recall it, back during the Reagan-Bush administration from 81 till 89, one of the principals mixed up in that, especially the Iran-Contra thing, was one William Barr. It's like,
absolutely, absolutely, it's all connected.
What don't you people get about this? You
he
know,
was the Grim Reaper of the Iran-Contra investigation.
Absolutely.
It's like he's trying to do the same thing here.
He got Oliver North off the fucking hook, man.
He
saved Cap Weinberger's bacon before he could drop the dime on Poppy.
Right. Right.
And Bob, didn't you mention the other day that some of those players from the Bush and the H.W. Bush and the Reagan administration are coming back as movers and shakers in today's world?
Oh,
it's
sure.
Like you can't kill them, metaphorically
speaking.
They
never left.
Elliot Abrams?
Abrams, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're sort of like these sea monkeys. They stay dormant, and you add water to them, and all of a sudden they come back to life, you know, and they I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the heart
transplant. It's the smell of shit. They can smell it in the air.
Who knows?
Yeah. Spread all over Republicans, and they pop out of the woodwork going, oh, we got to save the queen.
Well, let's bounce around. We're at 253. Let me make sure. No.
We need to knock that down a little bit, Horn.
243, thanks to Kitty in Boston. 243. Thank you, Kitty.
It's the most important donation you can make today.
Thank you, John.
Keep Bob's voice on the air. It's all about that. So those small donations keep coming in, baby. That's what makes it all work. So
yeah, and I don't know why Frontier Communications is like this, but they will not accept payment in hickory nuts.
No nuts? Are you shitting me?
Yeah, I know.
I was going to ship you some nuts, Bob. But
yeah, they don't. And yeah, they don't. They don't. They don't accept them in Nueces either.
No, they don't, baby.
How about live?
Nueces means nuts.
Yep,
that's exactly what that word means.
It's pecan, isn't it?
I've got a few live chickens running around here,
there
Bob.
You
well, that
no, you can't, some bartering here.
You can't take a chicken to the internet provider either.
See, so. There you go, people. So every donation that you make is that important, because we can't take chickens. They don't take nuts. I'm telling you, it's a rough life out here. But to keep Bob on the air and this message going, it is so important. And I know Bob doesn't like doing it, but it's an important part to ask you, the viewers out there, the listeners, to
my fondest dream is that we get $410 a month subscribers someday, and I don't ever have to mention it.
It's embarrassing. I know how it feels, Bob. You have to, you know, it feels like you're putting your hat in your hand and begging for something, but it's not. It's a fight. And this is the way that everybody can be involved in that fight, is by that donation that they give to keep this voice open, to keep that message going. That's your part in the fight, baby. You can join this fight just by doing that. So do that.
And we got an hour and about 8 minutes to do it in.
Lot of time, baby. We got it.
So let's see. I'm just looking down the list. Joe in Cleveland is with us. Anything on your mind, Joe?
Yeah, I just figured out how to turn my camera off.
Yay, you.
That deserves a cowbell.
Okay, cowbell for figuring out how to turn off the because I lost a I had we had to redo a call last night because I couldn't get my camera to turn off.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
well, leave it to Ohio to have to screw up something with the the abortion. They want to destroy all the Planned Parenthoods here and just about done that. So if you're a woman in Ohio, you're in trouble.
You are, and I did see that there is an accomplished woman who is running as a Democrat to unseat Jim Shorts Jordan. And she's already raised several hundreds of thousands of dollars. You can find a link to her or a link about her on my Twitter timeline. And you can find my Twitter timeline there at headon.live. If you're in Ohio, maybe give her a little boost, or even if you're not, because he's one of the most odious maggots out there, Joe. I mean,
yeah.
Steve Cantaloupe's King and Louis Asparagus Gohmert. But this guy's on the inside rail and coming up fast, Jim Shorts Jordan.
He's Mr. Drama. That's what he is. He just acts like he's got his panties in the wad all the time. He's a disgusting little turd.
Well, and considering the fact that he's, he never shows up in a jacket. He's flaunting the rules of decorum of the house. And apparently it's some sort of protest because women wear pants. Oh, or because women don't have to wear jackets. I'm not kidding.
Me.
I am not kidding.
Yeah, I know you're not.
That's just pitiful. That's sad.
I mean, my answer would be, Jim, if you want to wear a dress to work, we're Democrats. We're welcoming.
That's right. We're accepting.
You just get yourself laced into your little old corset and put on your hoop skirt and come on down.
There you go.
Yeah, we could all send him could all send him a container of Nair so he can do up his legs and be all ready for that dress wearing thing.
Yeah.
Why not?
Ohio, and then of course, Joe, you've also got the signal. Distinction of having that that state representative. What is his name again? Let me find this. I mentioned him last night. I didn't have his name at the time, but I mean this is a special degree of stupid. His name is John Becker. Are you familiar with him at all, Joe? Joe? Anybody? Am I gone again?
I'm here.
Okay.
No, I'm here, Bob.
Okay. I just
I think Joe left.
Oh, okay.
Joe went to Kokomo.
Yeah, John Becker is this freak's name who declared that, well, all we got to do is take that ectopic embryo out of the fallopian tube, and the fallopian's tube, and we can just re-implant it. We can just re-implant it right there.
I heard ignorance today.
Right there into the woman's uterus, and she can be pregnant like God wanted her to be, but he made a little mistake the first time, probably because she's a sinner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to send Mr. Becker, was his name?
Yeah, John Becker.
Yeah, send Mr. John Becker somewhere in Ohio. Remember when you were a kid, they had these see-through models of the human body?
Yes.
And you could see all the organs, the visible man.
Or the take-apart one, the one where it's like a mannequin, you could take them apart.
All the innards came out. Yeah, I built
him the game operation. It might be something he could handle.
Take out wrenched ankle. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah,
the visible man and the visible woman.
I'm pretty sure that medical science hasn't yet invented to reimplant the fertilized embryo that's taken out of the fallopian tube. I mean, how the hell do you do that? You know,
well, women's insides are lined up like Lego blocks. You just kind of go in there with those little tiny tweezers and you pull it loose from the fallopian tube, and then you come on down and you just put it on the Lego board right there in the uterus, and away you go.
As long as you're
here. These people,
you explain that, because I thought they just walked up there and put their hand on it and said, come on out of there, Jesus, in Jesus' name, and it just kind of come out there. Ain't that how they do it?
Anyone can do it. Right? It doesn't take any special training.
You can do it over the phone. Hold your phone down.
Right.
George has lost his mind with his heartbeat, Bill. Jesus Christ, man. Most women around here feel like they're going to be handmaids tale, and they're right. This thing gets through, and it's got so many layers to it.
Anything. They're disgusting with their little... Planned Parenthood has done more to stop abortions than religious fanatics like this shit ever have.
But Uncle John already passed the legislature. This is the scary part. They're going to give you the death penalty.
Let's get the DNA off of that baby, because let's track down the daddy, because he's an accomplice to that shit.
Let me give you a hypothetical scenario. Just wrap your head around this. My neighbor, okay, I've been friends with her for a few years, and this is hypothetical. It could be any neighbor. And come to find out, her husband's been abusing her. Well, she winds up pregnant after she kicks his sorry ass out. If I was to take her out of state, I could be held for conspiracy and put to death. I would face the death penalty as well. That's how radical they're getting, man. I mean, it's getting fucking scary. It really is.
Not far from that handmaid's tale, huh?
No.
And you mix, you basically mix religious intolerance with, political fascism, and you've got a real problem,
And a heartbeat's only 6 weeks. I mean, most women,
they don't even know.
Yeah, but I like what Randy in PA said last night. Fuck a heartbeat. I want to give it an eye exam.
Right.
If I can't give it an eye exam, it ain't a human being.
But from what Karen tells me, you don't even know that you're pregnant until you skip 6 weeks. And by that time, you can hear a heartbeat.
I'd like to start
seeing if they're giving all the rights to that fetus in there.
Is that correct?
The mother is in control of that fetus. She's got complete control. Why don't that fetus get a freaking lawyer and start suing people?
Well, it's Karen. I know. That's correct.
Yeah. No. I mean, you would get the same explanation from Agnes, and Agnes is a nurse.
Yep.
So, yeah. 4 + 2 = 6, and the menstrual cycle.
Don't be telling us how to add, Bob.
I was just demonstrating my profound proficiency with ciphering. But if a woman's cycle is roughly 28 days, 4 weeks, well, it doesn't run on clockwork. I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
No.
And there's all kinds of things in the modern world that affect a woman's reproductive system, and women in many ways are more sensitive to it.
Environmental
than
factors.
Men are.
I mean, the list is endless.
Tons of it. It was way back when I first came back into talk radio that we had a story that has stayed with me for all these years. They did a survey nationwide, New Jersey to Arizona, of breast milk, and they did a chemical analysis. And all over the country, that breast milk contained a component of rocket fuel.
Oh, shit.
And it was because of the stuff that, it was because we get our lettuce mainly from two or three places, and that was whatever it was that had the component of rocket fuel, and it was being sprayed on the lettuce and sent all over the country.
I mean, you'd think there'd be a regulation against that, but...
Well, you know, regulations kill jobs, John.
Yeah, that's it. It's a job killer.
Well, case in point in terms of the chemicals, and these chemicals are not, they're not only not known of by the consuming public, there's no regulation on the use of them and the widespread use of them. And I found this out recently on Netflix. And here's a viewing tip for you. And I mentioned it one time before. There was a documentary a couple of years ago called Stink, S-T-I-N-K. And it's not about Republican politics. It, instead, well, in a sense, it is about Republican politics.
I was going to
say. Seen it.
Those same bastards are the ones who are not responsible legislators or lawyers who allow this shit to be pumped into our food system and our air system. But anyway, it's called Stink. It's on Netflix, and I swear it'll scare the fluorescent piss out of you once you've watched it. And your eyes will be opened, and you'll be afraid to eat for the first 3 or 4 days. You'll be afraid to breathe, you know?
Stink.
That's the name. Check it out. I mean, if you've got Netflix, this movie documentary is well worth your time.
Great recommendation, bro. I don't want to give anything up, but yeah, watch it. It's worth it.
All right, that's one I can remember. Tell Mama Stink.
Yeah,
let's watch Stink.
And
I'm
not
so sure I want to watch that one. I'd rather eat a meal.
Well
yeah, I was our buddy Dan Fisher posted, you know, he's doing 200 movies I have loved over on Facebook. It's great fun. If you need to read Dan's postings on these films. And today I told him this is where we part company, because one of the 200 movies he has loved is the original, Michael Myers horror movie.
Halloween?
Is that Halloween? Jamie Lee Curtis and yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween.
And I said, this is where we part company, because I just don't do that. I do not deliberately scare the bejesus out of myself. Now, the rest of my family loves to do that. And I just go somewhere else.
Our first date was at Dracula.
Well, that wasn't a horror movie. That's just Dracula.
That was good. And you didn't tell me you didn't like horror until after.
Well, that wasn't a horror movie.
It was pretty horrible.
No, I'm talking about the gratuitous people getting chopped up, you know, white girls that don't have sense not to go into the basement kind of movies.
It's the logical place to go.
Sure, why not? It's dark down there. What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong?
A documentary like that's something I'm going to watch in broad daylight. And then, you know, just feel horrible for the next few days, whatever the topic. I mean, Agnes and I were talking the other day, and I said, you know, I really don't mind eating chicken. I said, because those are just little devolved dinosaurs, and they would have eaten our ass a few million years ago.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's revenge, Bob.
Yeah. And you know, the chicken fans will write me hate mail now. You bastard. But it's getting harder and harder to, you know, eat beef and eat pork and not a big fish
fan. Bob?
Yes.
Bob, stop telling us what to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop telling us what you don't like to eat, Bob. Yeah.
Wouldn't
okay.
do for hamburger, buddy. I'd starve.
Well, and see, that's the thing.
Just, all I can afford, but steak, are you shitting me?
Yeah, right. It's the dissociative factor. You know, as long as we don't have to think of it. So the other day I see this video of a cute little cow playing with a beach ball in a field, you know, booping it with its nose and then chasing it and booping it back up the hill. And I'm like, oh, fuck, really? But then, yeah, I don't know. It's a matter of perspective. I talked to a guy the other day who had just had 8 of his chickens killed by a mink. And I immediately...
I've been through that shit.
Yeah, and I immediately thought of... it wasn't no bigger than a rat. Yeah, but twice as deadly. Yeah. And he said he killed and sucked the blood out of the one. That's what they do. They suck the blood out. You know, nice and graphic, you know. And he just killed the others for sport. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden my mind turned to those goofy freaks from PETA. Oh, but that fur is murder. Do you know what a mink would do to you?
No shit, tear your ass up. There's video of it all over the place.
This is still a dangerous planet.
I mean, great minds think alike. Because as soon as you're talking about the mink killing, slaughtering all them chickens, mass murder of chickens by mink, film at 11, I immediately, my mind went to fur is murder.
Right. Yeah. And of course, my mind also went to the, you know, to the weasel from the... from the Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, the one that's all that gets on the wrong side of Foghorn Leghorn, and he's kind of scrawny and skinny, and he's standing up on his hind legs. And yeah, you know, one of these days. Yeah. Well, I need to bounce around the room just a little bit more because we got less than an hour to go. So stand by, Scott.
I saw Tracy there a minute ago.
Yeah, I saw Tracy. Are you there, Tracy? You've been awfully quiet. I know, just listening to the white guys talk.
Yeah, that's right. I love it when you guys would talk about pregnancy and stuff. I'm like, really?
But bunch of white guys talking about it. Ain't that some
bunch
shit?
Of white guys sitting around rapping about being pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really, guys? Come on now. Because I'm like,
come on, sweetie. In my defense, I said Karen said this. You know,
that's true. But still.
I have my wife's permission to say this.
But still, I'm like going. I'm like, eventually they're going to notice that I'm here, and they're going to maybe ask me because you know, I have a child. So yeah.
Been through it.
You know, and as a matter of fact, you know, on the thing about abortions, because I didn't even know I was pregnant. As a matter of fact, I was told that I couldn't get pregnant, and the only reason why I found out I was pregnant was because I was having horrible migraine headaches, and my doctor's like, well, I need for you to do a pregnancy test because of the medications might, you know, harm your fetus. And I'm like, fetus, whatever. Because, like, you know, I was, let's see, Alex's father was using a condom. I was on the pill and using the sponge. So why would I think I was pregnant? But, you know, you got to have the pregnancy test. And a little while later, congratulations, Miss Porter, you're pregnant. I'm like, congratulations, what? So at that point, I was like 8 or 9 weeks pregnant. And so as a matter of fact, I wasn't even going to go through with the pregnancy. I had even gone to have an abortion. And for whatever the reason, they couldn't do it. Something went wrong with the equipment or something, which actually, I mean, of course, I had, you know, wound up with Alex, but because what had happened was, my friend that took me to have the abortion decided to tell his mother, who told another friend, who then went to my pastor of my church, who then called my mother to tell her that I was pregnant.
And yet Republicans think more people should be involved in that decision.
Right. So it was like, I mean, you know, I mean, of course I don't, you know, I have, my son is wonderful and stuff, but I was definitely pressured into going through with my pregnancy because I didn't want any kids. I was the oldest of 5, and I was always having to take care of my baby brother and sister. I didn't want kids, at least not at 21. I definitely didn't want kids, but you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, you know, like I look back on it, I'm like, wow. I was pressured into having a baby. seriously pressured. And I wasn't a teenager. I was 21 years old, gainfully employed, living on my own, all that. But because my mother is a force, can be a force to be reckoned with, I, you know, on top of the fact that I, at that point, I knew everybody at my church knew I was pregnant. So what was I going to do? You know, live with that? I mean, the shame is a bitch, man. It's something that, you know, you cannot, you know, it's just something that people don't realize just what it is to shame somebody. If you've never been shamed. And
granted, white guy talking about pregnancy, but I think if Agnes were back here, she would be right here. You know, you said you didn't find out till you were 8 weeks or so along. We didn't find out about our daughter's first pregnancy until she handed us the baby.
Oh, shit.
Because it's kind of the opposite of what you're thinking was, because she was afraid that, well, she was somewhat afraid that I would kill the father.
Well, yeah.
And she was really afraid that her mother would kill the father. And, you know, with the benefit of hindsight being 20/20. One of us would be doing, you know, maybe we would have gotten second degree for, you know, heat of passion or whatever, but one of us would be doing hard time, but it might not have been the worst decision we'd have ever made.
Tracy, did I understand the first, you correctly?
Cowbell.
That you got pregnant on the basis of the pill not working, a condom not working, and the sponge not working.
Yeah.
I would have bought a lottery ticket that very day.
No, Alex is the Kwisatz Haderach.
The who? The what?
The Kwisatz Haderach, the supreme being, you know, had to happen. That's from that's from Dune.
I would treat that child like gold. I mean,
and I do.
Well, it's like the old joke where the mother tells her young daughter, now when you know, one of these days a boy's going to try, and what you do is you say, what are we going to name the baby, and that'll put him right off, and it worked until she met this one young fella. And they were in the heat of passion, and she said, what are we going to name the baby? And he holds up a condom, and her eyes light up, and they proceed to do the nasty. And at the end of it, she says, what are we going to name the baby? And he's rolling it off and tying it in a knot and flipping it out the window and says, if he gets out of that, we'll name him fucking Houdini.
Crawl out of
that. Was that a Gordian knot?
It may very well have been.
There you go.
All kidding aside, yeah. No, when our eldest showed up with our first grandbaby, who, oh my God, is like north of 12 now. Fun with adolescence. Our daughter literally showed the baby to Agnes, and Agnes said, cute kid, whose is it? And I was away at the time, and I was up in Morgantown, and she called and said, are you sitting down? And I said, yeah, because we've had this problem all along of, you know, when you've got a family, they tend to, and you live in the country, they'll bring home stray animals. And Agnes is good. You're a grandpa. And I said, oh, for Christ's sakes, which one brought in a puppy this time?
And, oh, and
she said, no. I said, kitten? No. Bob, no. Baby. I said, baby?
Say baby.
And at that point in time, it turned into an Ernest Angley revival. Baby, say baby. So, no, I get more than a little bit of that. But Tracy, I got to tell you, I think there is value in a bunch of white guys sitting around talking about pregnancy because we're on the right side of the issue.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so like when you, it just reminded me when you said when Agnes called you. So like I said, my mother had no clue I was pregnant. As a matter of fact, I almost panicked because. Like the 2 days before I was supposed to go in for the abortion, I went to her house, and she's like, looked at my skin because you know there's such thing as you know glow pregnancy skin or whatever, and I'm like, she goes, what is you know if I didn't know better, you know you have pregnancy skin. I'm like, oh yeah, no, and so like a couple of weeks later, I walked in her house and. She's sitting at the dining room table and she looks at me and she's like, so I hear I'm going to be a grandmother. And I'm like, excuse me, what?
To who?
To your grandmother? Who is Marcus? I mean, if, you know, I'm like, my brother Binky is Binky got somebody pregnant? You know, and my three younger siblings were too young to have kids. So I'm like, oh, well.
Well, you know, going back to that South Carolina story, the guy that dropped the card on Nancy Mace's desk that blamed her for getting raped is a guy named Josiah Magnuson. And when I hear Josiah Magnuson, you know, I'm thinking Viking. I'm thinking, you know, 65, 70 years old. Hair down to his elbows, you know, a beard down to his belly button, you know, ring, right. No, I just looked him up. Let's check in with the wit and wisdom of South Carolina pro-life Republican Josiah Magnuson. And it turns out, dude was born in 1991. And he's a little ginger fucker. With you know, with that whole getting ready to run off with the Confederate Army, you know, chin whiskers, mustache thing, right?
He's a kid.
Hi, I'm Josiah Magnuson, state representative for District 38 in northern Spartanburg County. I'm standing against the big government political power structure in Columbia, and I'm standing for our traditional family values that we believe in here in District 38.
Uh-oh, he's got traditional family values.
Oh, yeah.
Start the countdown clock till he's caught with a man in his mouth.
No shit.
Too often the decisions made in Columbia reflect the liberal agenda rather than the conservative one. I'm standing for...
Hold right the fuck on. Is this alternate universe South... liberal agenda in South... What...
being spread by the deep state.
She a state representative?
Yeah. I want to know about this liberal agenda in South Carolina. They barely got a school system. They can't hardly pave their roads. If it wasn't a national monument, they'd just stay in practice and go and lob shells at Fort Sumter for just to stay in practice.
You know what it is, Bob? It's that parallel universe, South Carolina. He's talking.
Well,
about.
No, I think what he means is the women's,
the conservative agenda, things like opposing the gas tax increase, opposing big government spending, trying to end abortion funding. From the state of South Carolina, and standing for education freedom and your gun rights.
Got to get that in there.
Education freedom and your gun rights. Use your gun rights to make sure them wrong colors don't be going to the schools.
That's right. They ain't been coming to my school. Hell, that school in Mississippi, so, after 52 years, just got forced to integrate.
Yeah, Tracy.
Hey, so Bob, I'm looking at his personal information. So he's a businessman. He residing in... Campobello, born August, he says 17th, 1991, son Roy, attended Oak Brook College of Law. Doesn't say graduated.
Well,
words matter, right?
Yeah, words do matter. And you know what else matters? Campobello. You know what that means?
Redneck?
No, field of war.
Oh, great. Oh, look, he's the president of the Virtue Solutions LLC, member of Mountain View Baptist Church, member of Campobello Men's Prayer Breakfast,
president.
Member of Constitution Study Group of Spartanburg, director of Americans for Constitutional Government, independent history and science tutor. Now, wait a minute. It was independent.
Oh, I don't want to know nothing about his independent science.
Science, yeah.
No, it's just... What is independent history and science tutor? What? That's frightening. Oh, here's one.
Propaganda.
Listen.
Propaganda.
Founder of Soldiers of Biblical Reformation.
Oh,
business development manager, and he's guess what, y'all? He's single.
What's
the name of his church? Tracy, what is the name of his church?
Mountain View, member of Mountain View Baptist Church.
I'll bet you
$100. There aren't any mountains in South Carolina, goddammit.
I'll bet you that that church is what they call an independent Baptist church.
Now, here's my question. I have a thing on here on his web. I guess it's his web page. No, it's not his web page, actually. It's the South Carolina StateHouse.gov. And there's a thing to send a message to Representative Matheson. And I'm really considering sending him a message saying, you know, not cussing or anything, but to say, so you think it's all right to shame a woman who's been raped?
Well, he later said that the language on that card was problematic.
Problematic. Well, see, here's the deal. And, you know, this is one of those women's things, you know, the unfortunate, you know, history of my life, that the things that I've gone through. I was a victim of molestation from the time I was 12 to when I left for college at 17, 18. Thank God I never got pregnant, but thank God if I did. I live in California. Because I'm thinking, you know, all these laws that they're trying to do, and like, you know, some of these states, if you want to get an abortion, you have to get the parents, you know, especially if you're, under 18, you have to get the parents' permission to have the abortion. But what if the parent is the one that raped you?
Oops.
What do you do?
Conflict of interest there, I'd say.
So what do you do? If your rapist is your uncle or your dad or your brother, or and
if
that
you run these southern states, you're just fucked.
You know,
what would happen, Tracy, is the court would have to appoint like a guardian ad litem for you. So that's another hoop you have to jump through,
right?
To decide whether you're competent to make that decision.
And it's like, you know, like I said, I live, you know, Rick and I and Scott at this point have the privilege of living in California, because Amen. You know, I look at, you know, who was it that's from Ohio that, you know, that said that Joe, good luck finding somewhere, even if you can have an, you know, you make that 6-week plan and you actually find out and all this. Where
fuck,
you go to
I'm from the heartbeat state. This has got to be the most draconian state.
And even if you catch it within that 6 weeks, where are you going to go?
We're working on it down here in Texas there. Steve.
You know, where are you going to go? I mean, I was just thinking the other day about how many Planned Parenthood offices are here, and just in L.A. County, in the Valley. In the Valley alone, there's 4 or 5. That's just in the San Fernando Valley. You know, there's at least...
Meanwhile, you're lucky if there's one in Mississippi.
Exactly. And yeah. It's just... with these gags, see, they're doing the end run around, you know, because constitutionally, it is still legal to have an abortion in the country. But these
that's what they want to do. But they want to get this in front of the Supreme Court by any case.
They're making sure that we're not saying you can't have an abortion, but we're just saying you can't have an abortion after this time, or you got to do this, or you got to do that, or they're just removing abortion clinics everywhere because of the gag rules, because it's, you know, a lot of these doctors, you know, the fight's coming. What? Oh yeah, my son. Yeah, Alex is saying. Yeah, that's what my son just said. It's like the final.
Well, say hi to Alex from everybody.
Yeah, hi to everybody. Hi to Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Belated happy birthday. Doing, belated happy birthday
belated
to Alex.
Happy birthday. He said thank you, but it's just, you know, and it's just, yeah, they know. Who,
he's right. No, though. That, that's what the plan
everybody
is.
Knows who you. You have a name. You are referred. You are Alex. Yes. And he's like, wait, he's because. I'm not just referred to as the boy. I said, no, everybody knows who you are, that you are my one and only child.
Oh, basically, that's okay. You know, second reference to Ferg is always the boy. So, yeah.
Well, like my son just said, because, you know, he listens, you know, he listens to, you know, National Petroleum Radio and KPFK and stuff like that. And he's like, the fight is coming. And he's like, this is what they're doing. See, you know, I did raise my child with... Thank God with some sense, but it's just the fact that they are doing everything.
His point is well taken, Tracy, and I mean, this is the way I've gamed it out. Right now, all the shooting, almost 99% of the shooting in this country is being done by right-wing Republicans, okay?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hey, we had a black kid do a school shooting today or something like that, so I think he's the first black kid.
Well, there's a girl who identifies as male. Okay, I know it's confusing, but they still identified her by a female name, but she identifies as male, and she's one of the suspects in the shooting in Colorado. But the larger point I was trying to reach was that most of the shootings are being done by Trump supporting and generally pre-Trump Republicans. So what they hope to do is if they can get the Supreme Court to uphold all of these draconian laws, they're hoping that our side will engage in violence against them so that the real shooting war can finally get started. I think we're smarter than that. Now, I would like to go back for a minute. Okay, so we got about a half an hour left in the program, $243 to finish the week.
Bob, I hadn't heard from Dennis yet.
Well, we will. We got $43 to finish last night, $200 to finish tonight, and not have
how much time to do it in?
32 minutes.
Oh, come on, people. We can do this here.
I hope we can.
Right,
it's doable.
Bob?
Yes, Bilberry.
Bob, I'm going to put something on the table there, okay?
All right.
Outstanding,
Rick. We'll call it the Nine Ball Party Hollywood Vampire Challenge.
Ah.
Mm.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm throwing down 20. If it's matched, I'll double it to 40.
Okay. There you go. Somebody get jump on that.
That'll get us under the $200 mark. That'd be awesome, Rick.
And I'll tell you what it is exactly. We won our playoff tournament, our league playoff, or to get into the tournament of champions. So we're having a party at my house on tomorrow. Having a barbecue.
All right.
In my backyard and all. And we have a chance at scattered thunderstorms, if you can believe that, in the middle of the day. But we'll see what happens. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm going to go see the Hollywood Vampires at the Greek.
Nice.
Speaking of
concerts, Rick, Tom Jones put on one of the best shows I've ever seen. In 40 years of going to shows, he put on one hell of a show, bro.
Cool.
If he comes your way... You got to go see him, man.
Okay.
Still have. Yeah. And he's smart because he has a killer backup band. I mean, mm-hmm. He had a full brass band, a full backup singer, so they lift him up. And it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I've been going to concerts for 40 years, so.
With Van Morrison a few years ago.
Yep.
When I saw Van Morrison, he came on to do like a song or two, and yeah, it was good.
He looks great, man. If there's a fountain of youth, he's fountain.
Okay,
he's 78, and he looks like he's 45. You know,
he's taking care of himself.
Yeah. He does look. He sounds good still, for sure.
Same way with me, Bob. Same way.
I've seen the photos.
For 20 years old.
Absolutely, happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Bob still looks good too.
Yeah, I've seen Tom Jones in concert like 10 times.
Wow. Yeah.
My wife went once.
You're a fan.
I have a picture of her when she went.
Oh, it was a great show. Good gosh, I was floored.
Did you have good? Did you have good seats, Steve?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He burned down the Atlanta Symphony Hall. Well, I wanted an aisle seat, and I requested one because of my foot situation, and they failed to give me one, so they had to put me right down in the front row. So, man, that worked out beautifully.
Oh, that's sweet.
I see Dennis in here.
Pretty good seats. I'm in the first section on the right, 23 rows back from the stage from the pit, I guess. So that should be good,
Just a piece of advice to anybody out there that goes to a lot of concerts. If you're ever in a situation and you're pissed off because it's not what you ordered, they always got a box office manager on duty, and they can do some magical things, man. So don't just sit there.
I tried that at the Forum for the Fleetwood Mac show because we got our seats were like slightly behind the stage, but you could still see them. You could actually see the teleprompter, because the words to the lyrics to the songs came up on the teleprompter. And Star didn't like that, so we basically went to the box office, and they wanted us to buy, even though it was halfway through the concert, they wanted us to buy tickets, another set of tickets, for like another, $170 or whatever it was.
And I guess the difference was, Rick,
she remembered what seats they told us were still available, so we just went there and sat in those seats.
There you go. I specifically ordered an aisle seat, and they put me in the middle of the balcony upstairs. Oh. So I was like, oh, goddamn, no, this ain't going to work, man.
That's not good. That's not.
So if you're ever in that situation, don't fester. Don't let it ruin the show.
So, just to recap,
Rick, you put the 9-ball challenge Hollywood Vampire $20 challenge on the table. If somebody meets it, you double it. That gets us down to 183 if it's met. And then we'll keep plugging away from there.
Could be one person meeting it, or y'all could jump in and have two people do that, or four people. Jump in there.
More than happy to do the ciphering.
That's right. That's right.
I did queue up because I don't want this guy to get away with what he did. I want people to know what a scumbag he is. This Josiah Magnuson, Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby. This is him. It's a short clip. This is him proposing his personhood amendment.
It is that all unborn and born people are human beings and deserve to be protected under state law. Now, I have introduced a bill as of Wednesday, which is called the Personhood Act. The Personhood Act defines human life at conception, and it provides equal protection without regard to the age of the child. We cannot look any longer at only some ages of people as having value to society. In fact, the South Carolina Constitution prohibits us from doing that in what's called the Victim's Bill of Rights. It says that people are protected under state law regardless of their race, sex, religion, economic status, or age. Okay?
Oh, kiss my ass.
Twice, yeah.
Please.
Because, you can't...
Are they going to run into the room right after the sex act ends? Oh, wait.
Right.
It's been conceived. We have a lawyer right here.
Yep. Just sew it shut until nine months. And, yep, right.
Keep it closed.
God damn. Sea monkeys don't have age, okay? And by the way, if you're out there on social media... It drives the fetus fetishist absolutely batshit crazy when you refer to it as a sea monkey.
Does that bother him?
Oh, it bothers the fuck out of him. Especially
having a sea monkey, you floating around in there, swimming around, making bubbles and all that, pisses him off?
Yeah, well, no, just that's a person. God damn it, that's a person. I don't know. I've seen the pictures. It looks like a fucking sea monkey to me.
It's a fucking piece of goop.
What are you talking about? Monkeys.
You know, it's bullshit. It's just all about Jesus and God and all that shit. It's a religious thing. It's not anything physical, science, medical, anything like that. It's a Jesus thing. Jesus said every one of them, if you spill your seed in the sand, you will go to hell. I guess everybody's going to hell.
You can't count an amoeba as a human. That's just silly. It's ridiculous. You know,
it's ridiculous.
Well, whenever they raise these bogus points about, you know, valuing, you know, the unborn people, the way to call them on it, to my mind, is say, okay, I get what you're saying. However, what happens to the people after they become born? Okay. And by the way, while I'm thinking of it, how are you treating the elderly, seniors, and disabled?
Right. You might be interested to know, because that reference he made earlier about South Carolina liberals. Well, we actually have a South Carolina liberal responding, Scott, and that's our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan. South Carolina liberals. So liberal that school districts propose to fire lunch ladies and privatize school meals, because we all know how well privatization works for things like jails and prisons.
Sure.
Yeah, they eat
money making thing.
They eat real good there. That prison cheese that ain't got any actual real milk in it. You betcha. Mm-hmm.
Faux cheese.
And thanks to Henry. Rick, Henry just met your challenge, and then
outstanding
some.
Outstanding Henry.
So that takes us down to 168.
Thanks, Henry.
168. Thank you, Henry.
It takes just one person, baby.
Awesome.
It takes
thanks,
one
Henry.
Person. Thank you, Henry.
And it burns my ass when these people start thumping their Bibles and quoting, you know, the words of Jesus in red and all that happy crappy about, you know, just what great upstanding moral people we are, when the very Jesus who they claim they love and serve tells them to take care of the poor, to visit
the least among them.
Widows and orphans and people in prison, okay?
Yeah, and for that matter, bombing a million people who looked very like Jesus and killing them, I think that falls under, if you've done it under the least of these, you've done it also unto me. And people like Josiah Magnuson, okay, granted, he was only 12 years old when we...
Motherfucking George Bush, I'll never...
He was only 12 years old when we slaughtered the people of Iraq. But still, the people that made him the way he is, yeah, come on, bomb them all. Ooh, Saddam done 9/11. Kill them all and let God sort them out. Yeah,
I got to square it with my dad. You know,
I'm glad you were mentioning the Iraq War, because I thought you might have been talking about future war, like the one we're fixing to get into with
Iran.
And I do want to get around the room, but there was one thing that happened that I noticed. I think even his closest advisors are figuring out that they can't trust Donald Trump, because Dan Coats, Director of National Intelligence, and John Pornstash Bolton, the National Security Advisor, and the guy who's probably going to wind up being the Secretary of Defense, the former Boeing CEO.
Shanahan.
And Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh, that just slays me. they had a secret 7 a.m. meeting out at Langley at CIA headquarters, where Donnie Dipshit couldn't, and they didn't tell Donnie Dipshit they were having it.
Smart people.
To talk about Iran.
Room. No, that's
because
the CIA building.
If you let Donnie in on the act, then he'll go out and spill the beans. Because he's a treasonous moron.
Because he runs his mouth.
He's an asshole.
He wants to glorify himself. Look at what I know. Yeah, he'd do that.
So
I thought that
bore mentioning. Hey, Dennis, what's happening, brother?
There he is.
How's it going there, Bob?
Hanging in there. How about you? Been a little while.
Yeah, I've been taking up my old hobby, fishing, and getting my kids into it. So that's been
Well, you know, teach a man to fish and you fed him for give a man a fish and you fed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you've given him a reason to sit by the river and drink beer for the rest of his life.
That's right, baby. That's right.
Well, also to get the knots out of your rope.
Good to see you here, Dennis.
Are you doing? Are you doing any good? You just watching the bobber, or?
Yeah. Well, the beauty's in the attempt, right?
All right. Sure.
They don't call it.
I wanted to bring up. I was reading Twitter earlier, and there was a woman that posted a response to that Mississippi abortion bill, and she said she brought up a couple of points. I can only remember two at the moment. At 6 weeks, can a woman insure a fetus, put life insurance on a fetus,
and collect
in case of a miscarriage or stillbirth?
Hey.
Nope.
Why also, not?
Oh, insurance industry is going to love that.
Oh, that's a damn good idea.
I mean, if you Georgia says
damn expensive for that
Georgia
kind of
Georgia
insurance.
Says you can list it as an exemption on your taxes.
Yeah, sure. Why not insurance? Yes. Sounds good to me.
Life insurance. That's what it is.
There's going to be some huge payouts for that after a bunch of miscarriages happen. And the insurance companies are going to leave.
And you know what? The insurance salesman.
Business.
The insurance salesman.
Get in here, Daddy. Mama wants to go on a vacation.
Oh, no. It gets better. The insurance salesmen are all usually sort of, you know, hungry, youngish guys. And so you want to, well, okay, I'll sell you an insurance. And then when things go sideways, because roughly half of all pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion, I don't like the word miscarriage because it makes it sound like mama done something wrong. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. So spontaneous abortion is the official medical term for miscarriage. And about half of pregnancies end that way. And those insurance folks are going to love it. When they have to go around and say, well, can you prove that you... And, oh, here, look. You ever seen one of these?
Monkey.
Those guys are not going to enjoy their job anymore. Yeah, boss, she showed me a feminine hygiene product that had seen better days and said that was the baby that she'd insured.
Oh,
boss, I don't think I can do this job anymore, boss. I'm gonna go find honest work.
Yeah.
The second point that lady made.
I turned down a job in the county morgue for this, boss. I'm thinking it might have been a mistake.
Huh?
I like that lady's idea. It didn't like if they're claiming he's got legal rights. Well, he's got a legal right to have an insurance policy, and if anything happens, well, they got to pay, baby. It's the law.
$1 million insurance policy.
Look how many
and
policies
look how young
they could
it is.
Sell
I mean,
them.
As any ad on TV will tell you, you know, you can get $1 million of term life insurance for pennies a day. Oh, good.
Pennies a day. Pennies. You can cash in next week.
The second point that woman made was, since they're declared a person at 6 weeks, can they file for child support if they're not together? And that opens up a slew of trouble. A woman could name like an unlimited amount of men to be the father of the child.
Until such time as the genetic testing is done.
Well, my rule of thumb is if they can't be called for jury duty, then they ain't a person. You know, that's kind of my operating
They're
principle.
Below your radar at that point, right?
Yeah, they ain't real if they can't vote and can't be called for jury duty.
Oh, these assholes have no idea the can of worms that a can of sea monkeys that they've opened.
It's ridiculous.
Because the lawyers are going to love it. Rick, because you'll have to appoint a guardian ad litem for a sea monkey.
Exactly. Right.
Ad litem.
Full employment for lawyers, Bob.
You know, that's a hell of a union, that American Bar Association. Goddamn right it is.
Yeah, right.
Law school applications will skyrocket.
Skyrocket, yeah.
He'll turn this country around on the basis of stupid.
I can hear the commercials now. Have you had sex? You think you might be pregnant? Well, just call me. Yeah, it's coming, baby.
And of course, as Eileen points out, no one's mentioned that one of those fetus-loving states has proposed that the fetus is a tax deduction at conception. Well, I kind of thought we did. I mean, that's what Georgia was all about. Just keeping it running around the room, let's check in with Suman, too. You there, Suman?
Right here, Bob.
Cool. What's happening?
I feel like I'm living in the novel 1984, you know, when O'Brien takes Winston into, what is it, room 100, and puts his hand up and says, how many fingers am I holding up, Winston?
Yep. And there's...
He says four, and then he gets zapped. He says five, he gets zapped. It's whatever I tell you is the answer. Right.
It reminded me, I think it was Azerbaijan. There was a story out of there the other day. And I always worry when I see these stories because I'm afraid somebody in the White House is going to see it and say, hey, that looks like a pretty good idea. Just to prove how ridiculously repressive the regime was, a young man took a blank piece of poster paper, did not say a word, but previously predicted he would be arrested for protesting. And he was. For a blank piece of poster board.
Pre-crime, Rob.
Pre-crime. Oh, yeah. Pre-crime. Damn straight.
Well, I'm glad they got that criminal off the street. I can sleep safer now.
You know. When blank poster board is outlawed, only outlaws will have blank poster
board. That's right. You can just imagine the paper cuts that are possible out there. This could turn dangerous. People,
I mean, one of those AK-47 wielding.
He could fling that thing, Bob.
Policeman
just like that guy with the steel hat that chops people's heads.
Well, right. There's a wonderful bit from, what's his name now? British comedian Eddie Izzard.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
and somebody took his bit about the Star Wars cantina, and set it to animated Lego with an animated Darth Vader who picks up a tray and says, I can kill you with the sharp bits. It's that.
Yep.
Those paper cuts can kill a man.
Kill a man. I'm telling you, bleed out after a while.
I've got a question for you, Bob.
Yeah.
So in reference to all these ongoing investigations with Trump, say they come back with a smoking gun, does McConnell have the right to not bring it to a vote in the Senate?
No.
Or do they have to bring impeachment proceedings?
No, the Senate shall try the impeachment. There's no may about it.
Yeah.
The reason he got away with Garland was because there was weasel room that he sort of made up.
I think he's a big enough weasel to say shall actually means may, Bob.
No, I disagree, Rick. He'll have the trial just for the simple glory of making a show trial of it. That's why the other night I went to the trouble of finding the oath that was taken by all the senators during the Clinton trial.
I remember you
and there's
that,
nothing
yeah.
and there is nothing in there that prevents them from making it a political. There's nothing in that oath that prevents them from making it a political circus.
Rick, may I ask your opinion on something, friend?
Try me.
Why do you think the Senate has subpoenaed Don Jr.? What the hell is that all about, man?
Well, I think, you know, I think Burr is maybe trying to, you know, be to conduct a legitimate investigation to some extent.
So they're just going to lob him softball questions?
Well, no, I think there's inconsistencies with what Cohen testified to and what Donnie Jr. said in front of the Senate. So I think it's to try and see if the guy lied to Congress. I mean, I don't know.
Could this be the clink?
There's two issues. The tower meeting.
Could this be the clink in the armor, though, Rick? I'm sorry, Uncle John. I didn't mean to.
No. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Rick. I wanted to pick his brain.
I mean, you know, the weakest link in any, you know, organization is the dumbest of the people. And I think Don Jr., I mean, I think that Gene Pool has
he has himself
with him.
And he had, and he has the least he has the least cover to hide behind, because he's not part of the administration in any way, shape, form, or fashion. At most, he was a functionary of the campaign.
Yeah. Right, right. He has no claim to executive privilege or
There's no reason
or any of those governmental privileges that, the executive will try to assert to prevent disclosure of information.
Part two, Rick, is there any way he could duck out of this?
Of course.
Well,
I don't recall. He could just show up,
and I mean...
And
but that's serious repercussions.
They're the Senate to vote to hold him in contempt. You have to remember,
I'm skeptical, guys.
Seven Republicans right
now. Let me add one thing to the mix in regard to that subpoena. That subpoena also means one other thing, and that is that they...
Here comes the ray of sunshine. Go ahead.
They asked him to come back.
Right.
They asked nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind coming back and chatting a little more? And Don Jr., because too stupid to be indicted, is also too stupid to know where his bread's fucking buttered.
Doubling down on stupid.
Yeah, he did. And he doubled down and split the cards. He said, fuck you. So they said, okay, fuck you, and issued the subpoena. So that means, no, it's not going to be, by definition, it can't be a cakewalk, because the Intelligence Committee Democrats will make sure it isn't.
Right.
Now, the Republican side, except for Mr. Burr, may try to fillate him.
That's what's got me befuddled, Bob. Why would they sign off on this, the Republican side? I mean, on the Senate, they hold all the cards. Well,
sure, but the other thing that's tucked away in this is, at a closed-door meeting that was reported on subsequently, Mitch McConnell gave his blessing to the subpoena.
Hmm. That's why he wouldn't be interviewed about that.
I got to think that...
I know he kind of fled the interview about that.
That could be more significant than any of us can comprehend presently. So.
Well, you have to ask yourself, at what point, and we do this all the time, at what point are those Republicans going to bail on him? Because they know he is sunk down with shit. They know he's... We still have, 12, 17, I don't know how many numbers, investigations going on. And every one of those are going to prove that he's a crook. And every time a newspaper article comes out and says, oh, look, here, he lost $1 billion and he's an asshole who ain't got no money, all those stories keep mounting up. At some point, the Republicans in the Senate and in the House are going to have to bail on them, because he is not going to be electable. And all these people are tied to him. Shit, they're all going to sink if they keep with him.
Well, here's the thing, John. And this is what those Republicans in the Senate are waiting on. And frankly, the Republicans in the House, too. It depends on which way the courts go.
Mm-hmm.
If the courts kiss Trump's ass.
Oh, they're happy.
Then they will not abandon him.
No, they'll be 2020 bound, baby. Let's go. It's up to our legal system right now. It's up to the courts, because everything is going to end up in the courts. Everything we've talked about tonight is going to end up in the courts.
I know, for instance, Darlene in Connecticut is justifiably skeptical about Amy Berman Jackson, but the fact that one Article III judge is going to get a chance to review the entire Mueller report, no redactions, no nothing, as it was, and she's going to get to do it on her own without Bill Barr staring over her shoulder...
Right.
Is fairly meaningful. And the other part of that is, you know, will Bill Barr turn it over based on an Article III judge's order? You wanna take odds on that, Rick?
I'm not. Yeah.
I think there would be. I think what DOJ will do is they will try to they will resist turning over the unredacted report, and they will instead seek an emergency stay of the court's order of enforcement and, you know, go to the appellate court and see what the appellate court does and ultimately take it up to the Supreme Court. So we're going to be basically depending on the eyesight of Mr. Balls and Strikes Roberts as far as whether or not, you know, the rule of law.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, he runs that federal judiciary for all intents and purposes. He's not gonna fuck his own judges. I don't think.
You're talking about.
I'm talking about John Roberts.
And the
other thing. And part of the reason I mentioned earlier, you know, this feeling that the pressure is building. Part of that, I think, comes from the fact that these things are in the court system now. And, for instance, the case that, you know, Trump et al. Versus Deutsche Bank and Citibank.
Yeah.
That got fast-tracked yesterday.
That's what I heard,
Yes, I did. I seen that story.
Yeah, you know, they were going to bifurcate that initially, and they decided to consolidate all the elements of the case into one, you know, proceeding, so to speak, right?
Yeah. So it's going to get fast-tracked. Anything that happens, it's going to happen soon. Among other things, the judge wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, the court sees no value in hearing further argument from counsel. Now, that would be plaintiff's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a tell, isn't it, Rick, that maybe the trial judge doesn't think there's much there?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, and the plaintiff in that case is basically Trump and the Trump campaign, right? Or maybe just Trump, I don't know.
No, it's the Trump. It's not the Trump campaign, it's the Trump organization.
Oh, the Trump org. That's
it's
right.
Trump and a whole bunch of dodgy, grifty, sleazy shell corporations and LLCs.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way they tell it.
Yeah.
You seen where that retired Justice Stevens?
Yeah, he put one across the bow.
Yeah, he, you know, there's going to be people. It all.
What did he say? What did he say? I didn't catch
he's
that.
He's saying Donnie ain't got the right to do what the Donnie is trying to do.
Yeah. You know,
he does. He's exercising the powers that don't belong to him.
Well, Stevens is basically saying he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
That's right. He's got to answer.
And that this is a slam dunk for any competent court.
So
I mean, bless his heart, he's a 99-year-old Republican. Ford appointed him. And he said, I think there are things we should be concerned about. There's no doubt about that. The president is exercising powers that do not really belong to him. I mean, he has to comply with subpoenas and things like that, which takes me back to Bill Barr resisting Amy Berman Jackson's order. It's not like contempt of Congress. Congress cannot take Bill Barr's law license away. Mm-hmm. But Amy Berman Jackson can say, you know, there is no credible argument for not turning this over, and your actions are contemptible, contumacious, and not only am I holding you in contempt, I'm sending the contempt order to the State Bar of Virginia, the State Bar of Maryland, and the D.C. Bar.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And recommending that they take action on your license.
Right.
And that will make Bill Barr shit.
Well, that's one shit I'd like to see.
I guess the question is, though, I don't think you have to be an attorney or a licensed attorney to be the attorney general, do you, Bob? Is there a requirement in the Constitution?
I don't think you do.
Well, y'all don't let that out of the bag. There ain't no telling who he'll go get to be attorney general.
That does not mean you don't have to obey the court's orders, one.
Of course.
And he is sunk balls deep in his status as a hotshot D.C. lawyer.
That's true.
So all of that comes together. Well, I don't know how it happened, but we have come to the end of the program. It's been, as I expected it would be, a rousing conversation.
Did you hit the goal?
No, we did not. We're still kind of stuck at, I think, 178.
Y'all can donate now after the show goes off the air.
Yeah, we can keep it rolling. We're at 178 to go to finish the week. So we've actually knocked down, thanks to everybody, knocked down all of last night, and knocked down $22 of today. So another,
well, I can just feel it in my heart. There's somebody out there wanting to give. It just overpowering me, and they have that desire and the ability. So do that, baby.
Hey, Bob. Yeah. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
That woman's name in Ohio is Janet Garrett, and she is actually soliciting funds out in California right now.
Good for her.
Overwhelmingly, Democratic districts, and Godspeed to her, because she's got a shot in 2020 to take out Jordan.
I think we should keep an eye on her. I hope she does.
Janet Garrett.
Hey, Bob. Janet
Garrett. Yes, Scott.
Uncle Bob, I've got just a quick thing. I think a lot, if you step back and look at the big picture, I think there are a lot of circumstances coming in from many directions that are going to undermine Mr. Trump. You've got the consideration of currently serving Republicans who it's like the law of diminishing returns to hang on to his coattails. It will become less and less appealing to them. You've got the judicial branch of government on all different levels. You've got all the court cases that Mueller refers to in his report in different jurisdictions. You've got even places in media where the support is not quite what it used to be. And you've just got the fact that the evidence will be overwhelming that this guy is what everybody said he was going in. He's a scamster. He's a grifter. He's a fraud. He's an emperor with new clothes that aren't there. And somehow that's got to all come together and work out favorably for the forces of good, I would think. I would hope, anyway.
And you said you had a viewing tip.
I do have a quick TV viewing tip. A couple of weeks ago, one of the premium movie channels did a freebie weekend on my cable system, and I recorded this movie. It's from 2018. It's a Jennifer Lawrence movie. It's called Red Sparrow, and I didn't know a damn thing about it, but I recorded it. And I finally got around to watching it last night. And there is a quote by one of the characters, the matron, who's played by Charlotte Rampling, who it's good to see her again. But the matron says this: the Cold War did not end. It shattered into 1,000 dangerous pieces. The West has grown weak, drunk on shopping and social media, torn apart by hatred between the races. And as a result, the world is in chaos. Only Russia is willing to make the sacrifices required for victory. And that chilled me when she did that speech in the movie, because doesn't that really sum up where we're at? When people talk about Russian interference in our duly constituted election process, doesn't that sum it up pretty accurately? That they are the adversary who will stop at nothing to throw a wrench into this system.
I don't think it's available. It's not available for viewing yet, is it, Scott?
Well, yeah, you can see it on Amazon Prime.
But really? I'll get a link, Steve.
Cool.
It's a little pricey, but for my money, it's worth it.
I'd like to see it, yeah.
It's a hell of a story. It's called Red Sparrow.
Yeah, and I'm looking at
the trailer.
You
don't have to pay for it.
Now.
You can get it for free online.
That's one of the movies I wanted to see when it came out, because I remember when it came out in the theaters, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it came out in 2018.
As far as the production quality, what have you.
Based on a recommendation from Ron in Raleigh, we are starting. we're starting to watch Nightfall. Knigghtfall. Knigthfall. Looks kind of fun. You know, Templars, crusades, you know, swords, all of that. But we got to get out of here. We're actually over time now. So we finished the evening with 178 to go. That means 378 come Monday. Thanks to all of you who did respond, who did take it down and kept it from being quite so terrifying come Monday. Thanks very kindly to everybody who participated in the roundtable this evening, whether via the Skype group or via various messaging platforms. Thanks very kindly. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, both in the chat room and in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thanks to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live, who, getting the last word, says, fuck all y'all heathens. I believe that life starts at erection. God, there's some Republican out there that probably agrees with you, Asa. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's going to rain on mine. Later, y'all.